Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, royalty, royalty, royalty to the Royal Galactic Family, the Royal Family, royalty to all. Thank you for tuning in to Enhancing Awareness Radio. I'm your host, Haru the Seventh Oracle, son of Mayor Keaton Boyd. Also, shout out to Tina Turner. Oh my God, I love Tina Turner. I would listen to some of her music at the Ike, and Tina knew. Tina knew, Miss Turner, if you will. I do not disrespect the elders anymore. But, Yes. Shout out to Tina Turner. Golden Eye, I love that song. I think it was on 007. They featured it, and I heard it. It was actually an ex-partner of mine who turned me on to it in the show. We used to love to do the numbers. As far as that is concerned, and Golden Eye was one of his favorites to do, so that's where I heard that song. But shout out to Tina Turner. Love Tina Turner. Today, the subconscious mind, you guys. This is Royal Rising Information. The subconscious mind. Brother Rich, shout out to Black Magic 363. Go and subscribe to that channel. The citation to the link, the YouTube clip is in the show notes. And, this is a doctor that's been coming on his podcast lately. I love when the elders show up and start teaching wisdom and balance, not trying to control narratives, but teaching in balance, you guys. That is what I respect up most high. I mean, to the high regards, to when the elder comes in balance, not trying to control narratives on a subconscious level, too, and not think that even the youth don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean? So I respect the elder who comes in balance and wisdom, who's not trying to control narratives, okay? So that's how I roll, all right? So with that said, subconscious mind is very important, especially in our time and now. I teach on, go back in the archives, you know, I've taught a lot on subconscious mind. And, you know, there's a few shows I feel that we've done on subconscious mind early on, mid, and, you know, up until now. So I'm actually listening, you know what I'm saying? Enhancing Awareness Radio is a big classroom. I like to pull lectures from respected people and feature them here on air, right? So, yeah, guys, I'm listening with you guys. You guys know I love sitting on the couch. I don't like to talk all the fucking time, you know. But there is a time, you know, to talk, and I have done many of teachings here on Enhancing Awareness platform. So please, we've been active since 2019. So go back in the archives and listen to some of the personal lectures that I have done on Subconscious Mind. But on this one, you guys, the Royal Rising Information, I want to just listen. So I have not heard this at all. And, I want to listen with you guys. And this is actually 3 hours long, so I have to cut it just a little bit before it ends. But, again, to link out to Brother Richard's channel and for you to pull information from Dr. B is going to be in the show notes, okay? All right, so appreciation to you, Dr. B, if you can feel this energetically, all right? All right, guys, royalty, 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 and let's go ahead and hop right into it, guys.
Make sure I was, okay, I see the number there. Okay, just wanted to make sure y'all was there. Oh, we're going to have another amazing show tonight. Got Dr. B in the building. Dr. B, welcome back, my brother.
Good to be here, brother.
Yeah, we told the people last week we're going to come and do a part two, you know. Drop some more knowledge on them. Yeah. Can't wait for tonight's show. I want y'all to get comfortable. Hit that like button. That's very important. Tell your friends and family that we are live. And Brother Rich, you're going to get to take a few commercials. And Brother Rich and Dr.
Oh, hold on, y'all.
Family, right? Here comes Udo. We'll be back in 1 minute after this quick commercial break.
Okay. So go back and listen to the podcast that I've done a few days ago, World Rising Information on the Secrets of the Universe and Frequency, because that was part one. So this is the part two from that. So, yeah, I love how this shit adds up synchronicity. My cat says hello. She loves this show. She goes crazy when I'm live. So, all right.
Welcome to the Sacred Tree. This is Stardust Jewelry for the Collective. All of our pieces are spiritually downloaded, handcrafted, and created with the love and healing powers of our set. We pride ourselves on using nothing but the best crystals, 14 karat gold, and sterling silver to highlight the conductivity of this alchemical process. So many superpowers for us to tap into, and the crystals are here to help you. I always say whatever crystal you choose, it chooses you at the same time. It's a symbiotic relationship. So feel free to tap into the sacredtree.life, see what we have to offer. Rock.
It's a numeral facial session with King Diamond. Text your full name and date of birth to 347-496-1022. That's 347-496-1022. And get my book on Amazon now. On Sunday, October 9th, in Stone Mountain Village from 2 to 7 p.m., Papa Ashwan Crazy Ass, the Red Pillow will be in Stone Mountain. Get your tickets to Linktree/King Diamond, the numeral beta, or text now at 347-496-1022. Get your tickets now.
Hey there, had a bad dream? I have dreams too. Some parts are scary and some parts are fun. Always remind yourself, it's only a dream and everything will be okay. I had a dream about being in a forest too. Check it out, my pet Petey was with me. Order your copy of Kayla Petey and the Forest on Amazon today.
Okay, we are back now, family. We are back. Dr. B, I got to start off, man. A small accomplishment I want to share with you and to the people. Listen, man, I was meditating last week, Dr. B. And I came out the meditation and I was divinely inspired. I got the message to do to live stream 8 consecutive days, 8 days in a row. So immediately I told my lady that I was going to do it. She was like, oh, wow, okay, you're going to be okay. That's a lot. I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. Man, so today's the last day. Today's the official last day. I went 8. Usually I do like 3 shows in a row. I take a break or 4 shows. Sometimes I even went 5 days in a row that I take a break. But I was like, you know what? Because I'm a number 8. I was born in 17. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do 8 consecutive shows. And today's the last day, so it feels good when you accomplish these little tasks that you put ahead of yourself. And at the end of the accomplishment, it builds character, fortitude, and strength. So it's just something that I'm proud of. And that spirit of divine inspiration, I want that shit to continue to hit me because I love that. That's better than getting high, getting drunk, any drug you could ever do to be divinely inspired to do something.
Yep.
That's the greatest high ever in the world.
Yeah, so I'm alive to have faith, too.
Divinely inspired me to continue to be great, and I just wanted to give gratitude to that. Just wanted to start out like that.
I'm born on the 17th as well.
That's a great thing because, divinely inspired. That is high. Yeah. That is the high right there. That's when we're getting close to the Most High, and we're connecting to the life force of all things. That quantum, vision, that quantum vibration, that quantum thing that envelopes us is the thing that we're looking to touch to get high, to get higher, be connected. So congratulations, brother, on that 8. You know, that 8 is a deep thing, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just the 8 is deep because 8 is also H. So the number 8 is also H. So the 8th letter is H.
Right.
It's a bridge in between worlds. So the theta state is in between sleeping and awake. It's the gap. It's the place of homeostasis between two places. The theta state is the state of the brain when we're in meditation or when we are moving from one state to another. So the 8, which they also say, and you turn it on its side, is infinity, right? Because you have one side where you're building, the other side you're destroying. You see?
Mm-hmm.
You can build and destroy with 8 because you're in between two places.
Mm-hmm.
That's the place that you go to
to reach into the nothing and create it into something.
Ah.
That's the place where we cross things over. It's like an altar. If you look at a H, the letter H, it looks like a little bridge.
Mm.
It's a bridge between two places. So when you're in that, if you're born in the eight, you're born in theta. Eight is your number. Then you live in between two places.
Mm.
You can draw from both sides. You live in what they call the threshold. Threshold is the threshold, the place in between. One, when you're going from one room to the other, they call, and you're standing in the middle, they call it the threshold. That's the threshold, because the energies from both sides are available to you and pulling you, and you have to make that choice. So the theta, right, in that theta state, you get to make the choice to stay in theta or to move to one state or another state. But you have the power to build or destroy, to go back to sleep or to awaken.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, we're in the theta vibration right now on the planet.
Mm.
We have the choice. Both things are happening.
Mm.
You know, it's all happening. And we must choose. This is the time of choosing.
Are you on the high frequency timeline?
A lot of the
rhythm, or are you on the low?
Rhythm. I talk about the 6-8 rhythm. It has to do with theta.
Mm.
You see? Theta.
Wow. I mean, I guess that's going right into our show tonight. That was powerful. That was I'm glad you opened up like that, my brother. Subconscious programming language. Oh man. So I guess people say, and we always reference Bruce Lipton. We reference him a lot. I always advise people to go check out his work. Amazing individual.
The guru.
Bruce has said before that, I don't know if it was the Vatican, the Jesuits said, give me a child from the age of 1 to 8 in the theta mode. I guess that's when children are in theta mode. And I tell you who he or she will be as an adult. So this theta mode that you're talking about, is this the realm of the subconscious mind? Because we're talking about the subconscious. Let's start out like that. Is this theta, is this the realm of the programming realm of the subconscious, Dr. B, that we're talking about tonight?
It is the place in between conscious and subconscious.
Oh, in between, okay.
It's the gap. It's the place where both sides of you are available.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say meditation is basically when you're in the theta state.
Right.
That is the place where you're quiet and there's no thought. You're neither here nor there. Because true meditation is about the cessation of thought. The no thought. We're not thinking about this and we're not thinking about that.
Mm.
Interesting thing. And it's interesting that we have this show today. Because, you know, I've had 13 teachers.
Mm.
And I didn't realize I had so many teachers, because a lot of times what we have, we don't realize we have it until it's gone. Today would be my 13th teacher's birthday. Or new revolution around the sun, Baba Dick Gregory. So I'd like to first say that, you know, we should give thanks to these people who actually did something no one ever did. Dick Gregory came along in 1996, and he grabbed me by the hand and said, I got you. He says, I need you to help me. You're going to be my herbalist, and I'm going to help guide you. So I'd like to give it up right now to Baba Dick Gregory, who, by the way, you know, he did so many things that a lot of folks don't even know about. Because a lot of folks didn't know about him until, you know, late. You know, he's the only person to run from Los Angeles to New York. He was a sports hero at first. People didn't know that. He and his brother held and still hold a lot of sports records. And he's the person who basically first publicly used the term, or we might as well say created the term, vegan.
Mm.
People weren't really using that term. He's the person who created what we call the protein shake, the protein drink. You know, because he was an herbalist, too. He was into nutrition, very heavy. And there were so many things. He was the first black person to actually be on a major talk show in the evening? Because, you know, black people could be on shows back in the day as a musician or as an entertainer, but you couldn't sit on a seat and be interviewed. First one to do that. But he did a lot of things. But what a lot of folks don't know is that he was a very adept metaphysician. And his thing was living on the eight, living on the bridge. He could live in a space in between worlds and see both sides. He could see both sides. And when you can see both sides, you can choose. But a lot of times we're what we call blindsided by seeing one way based on the way we're programmed, based on the way our perspective. When you're able to see all around you, and when you're able to build based on everything, that's huge. That's powerful. When we were at Baba Dick Gregory's memorial, which was amazing, and I know some of you may have been there. First of all, it went on from like 11 o'clock at night to, I think it was, must have been 7 or 8. It was all day long. And it was people up talking about his achievements. I mean, I had no idea how many things he'd achieved that we never heard about because he wasn't boasting. He wasn't talking about what he did. He was doing a whole lot of underground movement. And we didn't know that he was a chief, or I think they said he was a medicine man with one of the native tribes. And that he had connections with people everywhere. There were people there. I mean, one of the guys from CNN who had a talk show said that Dick Gregory got me this job on CNN. And even the statements that I say on CNN in the beginning and the end come from Baba Dick Gregory. But he was a person who came here tapped in. And the life that he went through as, you know, young was challenging. But that challenge that he went through, he was able to use it as fuel to build a great selfless life. Because he was giving everything away all the time. Because when you're at that place where you can give it all away, you become a superconductor. And a superconductor is one that can give it all away. And that state is the state of theta when you're in between. So I just wanted to say right now, you know, I'd like to thank, you know, Baba Dick Gregory, his family. You know, he was an amazing, amazing guy to me at times when I had no idea what to do and how to do things. And, you know, he was the one that told me, says, man, you better make it fun. Otherwise, they're coming at you. Well, who are they? He says, don't worry about it. Just make it fun. Make it light. Give the information. So I just want to say that first. Now,
and before you start, Dr. D, before you start, definitely Dick Gregory, rest in power. He was responsible for helping take my platform to the next level. I had a series of interviews I was doing with him in around the year 2016 and 2018. And he took this channel right here today. He took it to the next level. And my viewership went up, and he just helped propel me to that next level. And he always, when he wasn't cursing me out on camera, he always definitely told me about how valuable I was off camera. So salute to that brother, Dick Gregory. But Ben.
So let's go back to the question. Now, what was the question that you asked?
What I was asking about is the theta thing. Is that the same as the subconscious? And then you said theta was the link between the subconscious and the conscious.
Yes.
So let me just add on to this also. I'm sorry. So the thing about the subconscious, Dr. D, is what's so difficult about it is that we read about it, we think we understand it, we may understand it on an intellectual level, but it's so hard for most of us to change the programming that's already embedded in us. So we can know the knowledge. We can read this book 1,000 times, brother, 1,000 times. But for some reason, the majority of us still can't make that change that we want to make because we wasn't able to tap into that subconscious mind. Why is that?
Jeez.
Well, first we have to talk about what the subconscious is versus the conscious and the superconscious. The conscious mind is your will. It's what you desire. It's your ego. It's the you. It's the one that, you know, animating. You're basically kind of, you might as well call it your spirit, because your spirit is what, you know, gives you your personality. The subconscious doesn't doesn't know English. The subconscious is the automatic mind. What it does is it listens to everything happening coming through the conscious mind, everything coming through your sympathetic nervous system, everything happening around you, and it takes it and puts it in folders like a librarian. It doesn't judge. It doesn't respond based on, you know, what you want. It's taking everything and putting it in a library. So she, they say sometimes she knows all about you. She is a librarian. She takes the information and stores it. The other thing that she does is she keeps all of your organs, everything that has to do with the body that tends to be automatic. She is running everything, breathing. You don't have to think about breathing. It's automatic. You know, when you get cut, you know, you heal up. The body knows exactly how to heal. That's subconscious. See, your subconscious mind is running the show. It's processing everything at one time, even when you're sleeping. It sees you when you're sleeping. It sees you when you're awake. Automatic. And it is available 24/7. The conscious mind is weak compared to, I should say, the processing power of the conscious mind is weak compared to the processing power of the subconscious. Some say that the subconscious mind is 13 million times stronger. 13 million times stronger in its computation power than your conscious mind.
I love the number.
13 million times stronger than your ego, what you want, what you desire. It is taking every event, every sniff of the air, every smell, every scent, every feeling, every event that's happening, even what was happening in the womb, and it is programming it and putting it into folders. It's running the show automatically. After you learn how to walk, you don't have to think about how to walk because it's programmed into your subconscious. Unless something happens, you have an accident or something, you have to remember how to walk again. You know what I'm saying? When you're thirsty, this is your subconscious saying you need to drink, you need water, because we need water to run the show. So the subconscious, it is the thing that doesn't think. It doesn't care about what you want. It's your ego. It is a soldier or a librarian or a group of soldiers, because I'm going to break it down like this. Every event that happens that is tied to emotion, it is coded with energy. Your emotions, right, when you have an emotional response to something, there's chemicals that rush through the body. All of these things are all this data that is computated and put in folders. The amount of emotion with that folder decides what is where the subconscious chooses where to put it in the file cabinet. So something is very emotional. It goes to the top drawer up front. Because that particular thing is so important, whether it's positive, negative, good, bad, if it is strong, it has a lot of emotion, it must be important because you, which is the conscious mind, which is the commander of the ship, but the commander of the ship can't run the ship. The commander of the ship has got a crew member, he's got a navigator, and shoot, it's got people that do all kinds of work to work the ship. You could be on the ship and have 10,000 people on the ship. The captain is the only one that has the will. The captain is the one setting the course. The captain is the one saying, we're going this way, and this is what we're doing, and this is what happens if we get in trouble. Well, when trauma happens, when good stuff happens, it gets programmed, and part of the ship, certain people on the ship, certain officers take over, and they handle that. The subconscious mind is taking everything, remembering everything. It forgets nothing. Something happened, it doesn't have a lot of emotion in it. Well, they drop down to the bottom of the folder. The bottom of the file cabinet. It's not that important. The subconscious programs and puts things in files based on the repetition of pleasure or pain. It's programmed based on repetition and pain. So let's say the repetition of pleasure or pain. Let's say something happens really good and it keeps on happening. It says put that in the top drawer. That's important. Reach for it. We may need that. These files that have been programmed are triggered by events that are similar. So when you remember that pie, grandma making that pie, and you smell that pie, you used to be in another whole part of the house or outside, and you smell grandma's pie, and you know that that pie is going to change your life because grandma's putting all kind of love. Jesus, that's just not no easy baked pie. That ain't no something she's just throwing together that she bought in the frozen section of half food. You see, this is something that she is putting her energy in, and you smell that pie. You always remember that pie. Anything that has any energy like the smell of that pie triggers the vibration of the soldier that grandma's memory is in. You begin to feel different. You begin to get these endorphins because the pie is on the way. Now, what really just happened is you drove by a shop, and they had cinnamon and, you know, some other herbs and things, and they were cooking something. It could have been a dessert shop or something, or drive by somebody's house. And you smell some of the smell that smells like grandma's pie. You get the feeling instantaneously. You just ask or you just commanded that file cabinet to open up. Now, grandma's not there. Feeling. You get a little smile. You feel good. And you're not even consciously aware of this. This is happening in the background. It's automatically happening. Now, let's say, you know, grandpa. Grandpa used to smoke cigarettes. You love grandpa. You used to sit on grandpa's lap and, you know, he'd be smoking a cigarette or a cigar. Well, you love grandpa. You had good, you know, times with grandpa. So here you are. You grow up. Grandpa's not there and again. But all of a sudden, you start craving cigarettes and nicotine. You start having challenges because you want to remember the good feelings of grandpa, triggering. The smoke is triggering the vibration of the file cabinet where grandpa, those good feelings are at. But the cigarettes are not good for you. But all you know is you can't get off the cigarettes. You can't quit because there's an automatic program sitting in there that's remembering the state of consciousness in the environment that was happening when the file was created. Another one. There's a color called Santa Claus Red. This is Coca-Cola Red. You know, Santa Claus is owned by Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola created Santa Claus, what you call the modern-day Santa Claus. You know, that color is patented. You cannot use that color Coca-Cola Red. Try it. You won't even see colors in a tablet or whatever. You're not going to find it. Well, you might be able to make it, but Coca-Cola Red is a special color. Did you know if you got a file in your head that says Santa Claus based on the color on seeing Coca-Cola Red? Well, you know, Santa does all these great things as a child. You know, you remember this. So now you see Coca-Cola in the store. You automatically like Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is going to whoop everybody's butt when it comes down to, you know, soft drinks because people are remembering Santa Claus and don't even know that Coca-Cola Red is connected to Santa Claus. So that color signals a part of you that says, hey, I want some stuff for free. Santa, that whole thing is about getting something for free, going to bed early, so it's come down the chimney. Whether it's true or not, your subconscious doesn't know that it's not true. Programming the smell, the touch, the feeling of everything. The whole experience is being bundled and stored as symbols in a file. That part of your mind, it's not really even the mind. The subconscious is technically not the subconscious mind. It's technically the body mind. The subconscious is too big to be stored in your head, in your body. Your whole body, even the auric field around you, what they call the magnetosphere. Some people even what they call the geosphere, which is even bigger. It's as big as, you know, you can think. If you can think 40 yards out, that your magnetosphere, your energy, your subtle body can reach far as you could think. All the energy around you and in you is storing the information called the subconscious. That's it. It doesn't think. It doesn't care what you want. It knows how it's programmed. So, for instance, you decide you'd like to break a habit. Well, what is a habit? Habit is something that is on a loop in the automatic mind, something you've been doing over and over. Remember, the subconscious is based on the repetition of pleasure or pain. So if you're getting pleasure out of something and you keep doing it, you encode and make the folder, right, for goodness bigger and bigger and bigger around that thing. You love it. It's the same thing about something disagreeable. Let's say you had something disagreeable happen in your life. Or it didn't happen in your life, but you kept hearing about it. Check this out. You keep hearing about something that was terrible. Subconscious, listening to this story, cannot perceive or conceive of something that's not really happening. Whether you believe it or not, this is deep. You're watching television. Did you know that if you see a lion, a tiger, a bear, a spider, or something that could cause state of fear on the television, on the screen, or YouTube, or wherever, did you know that your subconscious thinks that that's actually happening? When you see a lion, you automatically, naturally go to run. You don't run from the lion because your conscious mind, right, is suppressing the natural vibration to get away from the lion on television. Because, you know, the subconscious is, it's not programmed like the conscious mind. It's automatic. Its thing is to save you. Its thing is to get away from things that could be causing harm and move towards things that are actually going to be better. But sometimes what's better is that is worse because something, like I said, the grandpa's cigarette, right? Even though you love grandpa and it's a good feeling, the cigarettes are hurting you. So there's a little switch that happens in the brain between the two brains, and it's like a little war goes on over and over and over. Everything about it gets stored, the memory of it, and it is triggered because the subconscious is recording constantly. The subconscious mind is a recording device, but it also is a playback device. It is recording and playing back every event. They're all online, everything. There is no past. It's all happening, and it's triggered and causes you to have states of emotion or feeling by what? Sometimes you smell something or you'll see something or you'll touch something. And it will open that file up, and you will act out automatically based on what was stored in that file. You're going to have these states of consciousness that are elated, that are feeling good, because the file, right, or the energy that is happening in the environment is causing that file to open up. The subconscious knows everything, everything that has happened in you. And I'm going to give you one more little piece. A portion of your subconscious was downloaded when you were a baby from your mother. It's a certain section of your subconscious that was given to you by your mother. Feelings around things. Her perception around things was given to you from your mother. She got some from her mother and her mother and her mother and her mother. So some of this is almost ancestral-like. It's not in the DNA. It's in the energy field. So you are not totally you. Who you think you are may not be who you are, because who you, your conscious mind thinks you are, is only 5% of the programming. 95% of who you are, what you feel and what you're doing, unless you're totally conscious and you've done the work, is all subconscious. Where's my note? You see, 90% of your life is automatic. You don't have to learn it again. It's the subconscious is it. Triggering you in the conscious mind, and there's a whole folder or folders or a whole bookshelf based on the fear, the anger, or whatever it is, it unfolds. It's the repetition of things happening over and over, whether they're words, sounds, that programs that subconscious. So those states of consciousness, which we think we can control, are on automatic. The subconscious is the body mind. It has a lot to do with feeling, because everything that you feel is in the body. It's a feeling. I just got a feeling. You get a feeling that, you know, it's time to go. You got a gut feeling it's time to go. Well, that's a combination of your subconscious and then the friendly bacteria and the bundle of nerves in your gut called the solar plexus, all triggering you, telling you that something could threaten our survival. Because the subconscious is always attempting to get you to survive. There's a glitch, and it's traumatic. You are the captain of the ship. So you have a certain amount of emotion around the event at 5 years old. Subconscious picks up the emotion that you're experiencing. If the emotion is a mood, then it's temporary. If the emotion is happening for more than 7 days, thinking about it, you're feeling it, you're remembering it, you're feeling it, it becomes a temperament. If a temperament happens for more than 21 days, then it becomes a part of your character. When you do things over and over and over, so you do something 7 times. So, like when I'm teaching people to play an instrument or whatever, you know, or learn something new, you do it 7 times, and the subconscious says, okay, this is something we need to record. If it happens 14 times, it says, oh, the program is deep, go broader, give it full spectrum recording time, turn the volume up. After it happens 21 times, it becomes automatic. This is why you could break a habit. You could break a heroin habit in 21 days because that's part of your subconscious and your limbic system, all your nerves and your cells, which are being triggered by the drug. Not all drugs, but, you know, that's one drug that takes about 2 weeks to really break if you could stay away from it. If at 5 years old you're triggered by something and it seems to keep happening because you keep thinking about it, in the vibration of it, that mood has become a temperament, which has become part of your character. It's locked into a folder. Now, here you are at 25, and you would like to erase that program or change that program because whatever it was is not working out for you. It's not, you know, something that's conducive anymore. Keep in mind, the average adult lives life as an adult based on the conclusions of a child. I want to say that again. The average adult lives life as an adult based on the conclusions of a child. The conclusions of a child. The average adult. The average adult, how you're living, how you're acting, conclusions that you made as a child. What conclusions did you have? Your parents gave you a bunch of conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
What was good? What was bad? What's ugly? What's beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
What's tasty? What's not? You learn all your traditions, all your stuff as a child. It gets programmed in deep. Your parents are giving you like a pen that writes with indelible ink to write your story out, to write your script. It's like a movie. Your parents are programming you. They're attempting to, in their own mind, help you survive. Whatever. Depends on what kind of parents you got. They're attempting to give you their best, but what they got a lot of times, the program that they received was not the best programming. Program as a child that says everything's going to be hard. It's a struggle out there. It's going to be hard to keep a job. It's going to be hard to graduate. It's going to be hard to get an A. You got to get an A. If you don't get an A, then you're a dummy. You see what I'm saying? If you don't do this, then you're that. If you don't look a certain way, then you're not that pretty. You're not that good. And people that are dark-skinned only get this. Light-skinned people they only get that. You get all of these stories and what religion you should be to be righteous, what God is, you know, what happiness is, what joy is, what tastes good, what food. of these programs were given to you as a child. All these ideas, or which became ideals, were given to you as a child, and those conclusions, which may not be accurate, now you have them as an adult. And as an adult, you are living life as a child, and you're reacting and acting and pre-acting and premonitioning all these things based on the child, because the child now has a perspective that it passes on to you as the adult. And you, when you get of age, you have to begin to break the old programming. You have to be ready to break that spell. So the spell breakers come, right, when you now are beginning to be wise about your movement, wise about what you do, and realize that some of the stuff that you got from the parents, you got to get rid of, because this stuff is poisonous. Or it's toxic, or it's very good. It's really good stuff. So your parents taught you how to live and how not to live. They showed you how to live and how not to live. They made missteps and everything. They were not perfect. They had stuff going on. You can't imagine what our parents were going on when we were children. But when you heard the news over and over and over, like when I was a child, it was all Walter Cronkite was on the air with the Vietnam War. And he kept saying, that's the way it is. And here he is, right? He's got on a trench coat. This is Walter Cronkite. He's supposed to be in Vietnam. They show him palm trees in the back, right? He's supposed to be the greatest newsman in the world. He's got on a trench coat. And I'm asking my father, I said, Dad, how come the man, his name is Walter Cronkite? Is anybody else ever named Cronkite? What kind of name is that? You see what I'm saying? Cronkite. It's like he's the crown. He flies the highest. He knows the most. And he's the king of the news, right? But he's always moving the paper and always moving the mic back and forth, which is causing hypnotism, because he's causing a state of consciousness to go between conscious and the subconscious. He's creating a theta state. He's taking you into illusion, right? He's taking you into the state where, you know, there's cognitive dissonance. What they're showing you and what you're hearing is differing events that you begin to take that in as real, because it don't tell lies, is it? You're being entrained. So my question to my father was, because I was always trying to figure things out. I said, well, why does he have on a trench coat? Isn't a trench coat worn in the winter when it's really cold? He's got this thing buttoned all the way up. Isn't it like 120 degrees in Vietnam? This is because he was in a newsroom, right, with a green screen or a blue screen or whatever behind him, whatever they used back then, and we thought this was real. So we were reacting, and what was being put in our programming every day, every night, 6 o'clock news, 7 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock news. People felt it was real because those emotions that they gave you on the screen, you programmed as a child as being real. You didn't know the difference. You didn't know. So the average adult is living life thinking that you're grown, but you have the conclusions and the ideas of a child. You can see how people act. A lot of times people act very childish about things. Said about something, you have no real proof. But somebody told you it was real, and they said it with a lot of emotion. Well, you like this, you know, we're used to things coming as a lot of emotion because the preacher had a lot of emotion. You got all emotional and everything in church, and oh boy, you know, folks is falling out and speaking in tongues, and folks got saved, and you know what I'm saying? They had to carry Bessie May out because, you know, she got the Holy Ghost. All of that stuff, that emotion became programmed in us, and it seemed real. It was real. Whether it was actually what was happening in the spirit world, the child got that stuff programmed deep in us. So when somebody speaks in a certain way that reminds us of that, real. It's not factual, so we are living life as adults based on the conclusions of children. And we act and react based on the perception that we have given, been given, and keep giving ourselves. You could break all that. You could break all these cells. People do it all the time. But you got to be ready to be a cell breaker. You see? It's like even eating. People eat a lot of times because every event that you had, right, that was about celebration was about eating this food. And most of it was not good food. It wasn't even food. Love. That's what love is about. Love is you bring food to the event. So you remember the food. You remember all this. And that's why you got to do a Thanksgiving dinner. You got to go because that's love. That's family. It's almost sacrilegious for you not to eat and go to the Thanksgiving meal. Even though the Thanksgiving, what Thanksgiving is about, is a deep set of events that really goes against your survival. What it represented, it was not for you, mate. It was about thanks-taking. he was thanksgiving to somebody. Who did this rest? Who, you know, what did the turkey represent? But to you, the turkey represents the love of grandma and everybody coming together. You see, so these events, these holidays and things are programmed into us as children. Thanks. I mean, come on, look at Valentine's Day. That's all about love. I mean, I had drama one time because I missed out on the Valentine's Day dinner. I was supposed to take my girl to Valentine's Day, and, you know, I had a gig I had to do. I was more excited about the gig than Valentine's Day. Do you know what drama I had because I didn't bring the flowers and the candy and do the whole Valentine's Day thing?
Oh, man.
What love is, and, you know, the definition of love and hate, and what is family, what is a friend, all these things are programmed into us. But they're not necessarily that. That is just the idea that's been programmed through repetition, seems like something that happened a long time ago or something that you heard about a long time ago that had a lot of emotion, you act out. My highest hope is that I'm being clear. This is a challenging subject to talk about because it lets us know that we are not totally in control, but we think we are. The ego says that I'm in control. I know who I am. But who you are is a conglomerate. It's a bunch of stuff, file cabinets of information. It's just like, okay, lavender. Lavender essential oil. When you smell lavender essential oil, you calm down instantly. Who do you smell? Why? Because programmed into your subconscious, the piece that you got from your grandparents and ancestors said that lavender, when they laid out in the lavender field or put lavender in their pillow or, you know, put lavender in their bath or drank lavender tea, it calmed them down. So you automatically calm down because that program is very strong in your cellular structure. You have receptors on your cell that are looking for lavender. There are receptors on your cell that are looking to receive everything. Each receptor on your cell is looking for a certain thing. There's a certain receptor looking for sugar. There's a certain receptor that just smells chocolate. There's billions and billions of receptors on your cell that are picking up this information and storing it into your system. Most of your memory is in your tissue. The issue is in the tissue. Issues are in your tissue. It's the cellular memory. For instance, did you know crying is good for the soul? Why is that, Doc? Because when you cry, when they take tears and put them under the microscope, see these little small pieces of look like hair. They're called dendrites. Dendrites are broken off little nerve endings. When you cry about something, let's say it's something that grief, it's sadness, somebody's passed away. This tissue in your body that's holding on to the memory of that event or that person or that thing. When you cry a really good cry, the little dendrites that look like trees, that look like tree branches, they break off. So that the nerve can move away from the tissue that's affecting you so much, or the issue that's affecting you so much, so that you can move through the tough moment and the grief. Grieving is really important because the crying is breaking off the connections that your body or your nervous system has to the memory. Now, you don't forget it, things we have not cried about. We haven't released them. So the dendrites don't get a chance to break off. And especially like me, we're not supposed to cry. It's not good for a man to cry. It's tough. I mean, I'm not going to cry. Well, this is why a lot of men have heart attacks and have issues with their major organs and begin to shut down because there's too much pressure buildup and they haven't let that pressure out. Crying is good for the soul. Releasing.
I literally was just talking about that with Dr. Valentine yesterday, crying in tears. It's funny you brought that up.
You see, so there's a lot of emotion that we've been taught to mute. We've been taught to limit. You're feeling something. You're going through something, but you're not supposed to talk about it. Don't say anything. Something happened to you. Don't tell anybody. Just keep that secret. You see, so you're muting all this stuff, but the subconscious mind is still what? It is still playing back the record because the subconscious is recording and playing back instantaneously all events. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret. When you hold of your breathing, your diaphragm changes its rhythm. Your diaphragm has a lot to do with the way energy moves through your body. So when you breathe, it's automatic. Breath is automatic. When it's time to run, you don't have to remember to speed up your breathing. Your body just does it. When you're really relaxed state, you know, your body automatically calms down and you breathe slower. State of breath also are programming and triggering events. When you are running away from something that's attacking you, your breathing speeds up. Adrenaline begins to pump from your adrenal gland. You begin to pump cortisol into your system. You can run fast as a deer. Do you know, and this is another thing Baba Dick Gregory talked about, the fastest land animal on the planet for, I think it's 18 seconds, is a human being. You can run faster than any animal. And it might be a little longer, depending on you. As long as you take your hat off. Why? First of all, when you take your hat off, the vapor shoots out the top of your head because the top of your head, right, at the top of your skull is what's called the limb. It's the thinnest bones of the body. Light needs to come through them from above to help, you know, program and keep balance within your body, which is a whole other subject. So that lens is got it breathes. That's why a lot of people wear a cap, control what's coming into the top of their head. Certain religions, they wear a little cap to control the top of the head. That's the soft spot. That's the spot that is the last spot, the last bones to form in a baby. When you run, your body needs to release certain vapors to get to certain speed. When you pull your cap off, the vapor shoots out through the top of your head and you could run like crazy. You could get away from almost anything for a certain amount of seconds. You need to find a tree, a hole, a fence. You could jump over it. When you are in those excited states, the body, the subconscious takes over and says, it's about survival. We got to move faster. Your feet are moving so crazy because normally you might not be able to run this fast. You might not be able to move this quick. You might not be able to jump that fence. But the body says, we are in survival mode. And in survival mode, we got to get away from whatever's offending us. So turn up the speed. Turn up the everything. Pump the oxygen. The eyes dilate. And all of a sudden, digestion stops. Healing stops in the body. And the only thing that comes online is the subconscious saying is, get away from the thing that's offending us. Imagine the thing that's offending you is on TV or a story you just heard. Or a lecture you just heard. Somebody told you about something that's really scary and crazy. Did you know that you pump the same amount of adrenaline, whether it's actually happening or not? Because the subconscious cannot perceive or conceive of anything that's not actually happening. It doesn't think. Pumping adrenaline as you're watching the movie, as you're watching the show, and people are being murdered and they're showing blood. In fact, that's the number one. And the number one thing they're going to show is the blood and the gore. And even in news, they say the story that leads is the one that bleeds, the one that has the most drama, because we've been programmed for so long to look for drama. And that drama pumps that cortisol and it pumps that adrenaline just as if you were being chased by a grizzly bear. But guess what? You don't run. It's subconscious. It's all pumped up, but this conscious mind says, no, this is just something, but I'm used to this. Did you know that that begins to wear down your nerves? Your parasympathetic nervous system begins to slow down. Parasympathetic nervous system is the one that says, you know, what's most important for us to live, to thrive? The wise part of the nervous system. It's like the wise old lady. The sympathetic nervous system is reacting to everything outside in the environment, everything, unfiltered. But then when it hits the parasympathetic nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system says, that whatever's going on out there, this is important, that's not important, based on the basic programming that you have in your head. So imagine you're watching the TV or whatever, or you're listening to these events which are stressful. That's the news. It's going on every day. How bad it is. It's getting worse every day. Every year, every day, the world is about to come to an end. The system is about to crash. The money's about to crash. Everything. The banks are going to be going down soon. This is the, you know, I've been hearing this since I've been on the planet. Oh, boy, it's about to be a nuclear war. You know, it's event after event after event after event. Subconscious is programming. This is drama. But after a while, you're not reacting to it anymore. But it is having an effect on your heart. It's having an effect on your organs. That adrenaline and that cortisol wears your heart down, wears your kidneys down. Your organs begin to break down early. So instead of you living up to 160 years, you can't, because you've been through so many states of trauma and didn't run because it was really no bear. You sat there. These chemicals begin to break you down. These hormones begin to break you down. Then you're eating the food, right? The food that you're eating, it is programmed with drama, with cortisol. Because when the animals are being killed and slaughtered, they're programming the energy in their tissue of drama, of trauma, of pain, of grief, of despair. You're eating that, and you're taking that on. The subconscious doesn't know that that's just food. The subconscious says, oh, my God. It's taking on the vibration, the vibratory rate of this material that you call good food that has actually been through trauma. So that becomes part of a storage tank. It becomes a whole library within you that this food, you're saying this food is good, but that food is actually not good for you because that food is programming you to have more fear because you're eating the cortisol and also you're eating the urine of the dead animal. What are you talking about, Doc? Well, the animal, when it dies, its bladder backs up into its tissue. That bladder, that urine, crystallizes as what they call what? Urine acts like little shards of glass. That is in your body, the urine. You see, when you get upset, you get pissed off, right? What does pissed off mean? When you get really upset, you want to see if you have to pee soon after that? Because your body, your kidneys, right, are what? They're filtering the fluids in your body at a very fast rate because something's going on. Something's happening out there. Something's crazy. It doesn't know that it's just an argument between you and two people. It says it could be a grizzly bear once again. It's just an argument between you and a friend. No, that could be a grizzly. The subconscious doesn't know. So the kidneys begin to pump and say, let's get rid of all the fluid we don't need. You get pissed off. That's what pissed off is. So when the animal dies, its kidneys back up. Its system backs up, and you're eating the urine. Within the urine has the vibration. It has the cortisol and the adrenaline of terrible happening, a demise. You're eating that. That becomes part of your subconscious. You're eating something that says that we're not going to live long. We don't have a good sense of peace and love anymore because we're eating, right, food that has fear built in, has anger built in. You're thinking thoughts about fear and anger because you're hearing it all day. You're seeing it all day. People are gossiping. People are newsy and nosy, and they keep talking on and on about how bad it is, and you become programmed as fear, and the subconscious says, this is our world. We live in a state of fight, flight, or freeze. Fight, or fight, flight, or freeze. We're supposed to run, but we don't. Subconscious programs, all of this. It doesn't know until the conscious mind takes over and begins to create on purpose states of love and harmony over and over on automatic. Remember I said earlier, I said that if you take control of your breath, subconscious says, stop playing back old files and record new ones. Because the captain just took over the ship. Oh, this is so deep. When you begin to take control and be conscious of your breath, rhythm of the diaphragm is now being controlled by the captain of the ship. So it's like the captain coming on the speaker and saying, now hear this. Now hear this. This is your captain speaking. the whole crew on your ship, which is your body, every cell, every organ, every organelle, right, every part of your body, your genes, every, your blood, everything is listening to the captain. Captain is speaking. The captain has got you breathing at a new rate. The captain has taken control, taken the wheel of the ship. So when you breathe a certain rate or you take control of the breathing, it tells everything else, the old playback tapes and the old stuff that's in the library, to turn down. It's not important. Record leaving. Record. Record. This is why you calm down when you breathe. That's why when you get into meditation, you got to breathe. Times during the day where you slip in these states where you breathe. Then breathe deeply, because usually your breath is being controlled by events that happened a long time ago that may not be even happening now. I'm not sure if I'm being totally clear, Brother Richard. You're going to have to ask me some questions or something, because it's like this, and it's very challenging to explain if I get excited, because this is where the rubber meets the road, as they say in country music. This is where the tree meets the earth. This is the whole thing. The subconscious, right? Once you can get control and understand the basis of the subconscious, you could change everything. Because if you were told as a child that everything is hard, everything is tough, everything, the world out there is terrible, the programming that you have, and that's what you live from a base of state of fear. We are not taught so much love. Even our languaging, right, doesn't have a lot of love and peace and harmony in it. Until you take control of that and begin to change it, you begin to reprogram your subconscious.
Dr. B, we've been talking so much in the past couple of shows about this quantum field. What is the subconscious mind connection to this infinite quantum field that we talk about so often?
The subconscious is the conduit between your conscious mind and superconscious, quantum field, the Akasha. Subconscious is the bridge between what you desire and what the quantum field has to offer, which is everything, infinite. It's infinite. But the subconscious is the challenge, because the subconscious say you desire and weigh it against the belief systems that you have, the programming. So, for instance, this guy came to me years ago when I first became a psychological kinesiologist. That's one of the things that I do, psychological kinesiology. This person came to me, and he had been in prison. And he went to prison because he was trying to survive in the hood, and his mother throughout his life told him that he was just like his father. His father went to prison for some things, trying to help the family survive. And the mother was angry, so she always was talking bad or disagreeably about daddy. Told the boy, you're just like him. You ain't no good. You're going to live just like him. Now, the boy is very intelligent. You know, he's mommy and daddy 2.0. He's the upgrade. So he can take what mommy and daddy did to a whole other level. But mama's always telling him that he's just like his daddy. He ain't no good. You're going to end up in jail just like him. So guess what? Even though the boy is very intelligent, he grows up and he does something just like daddy. Because mommy programmed his subconscious to be just like daddy, even though the boy never really knew daddy. But the mama introduced him to daddy because of the disagreeable talk, the talk of lack and limitation and not enoughness and fear and anger and grief. The mama taught him about daddy. All he saw was a few pictures and a couple times talked to him on the phone from jail. Goes out and does something worse than daddy. Because the mama told him, you're going to be just like daddy. Knucklehead. So while he's in jail, in prison, he begins to read. He's always in the library. He gets a law degree. He gets a business degree. He's actually teaching people in the prison how to read, how to change their cases, how to go to court, how to better their lives. He gets out of jail or prison early for good behavior, for all these things that he did. When he was in business, he wrote a business plan to help his old community, more thriving instead of surviving individuals in his community, how to help people not end up in jail, how to help people deal with the law and understand the law, and how to become successful individuals. He gets out of jail. He goes to his mother, and his mother says, look, what are you going to do now that you're out of jail? She says, he says, I have this program. She said, well, you got a felony. You got a felony. You ain't going to be able to get no job. You ain't going to be able to just like your father. Well, he moves out of his mama's house because he can't take it. And he picks this business plan, and he goes to all these banks, and he tells the banks that he'd like them to be involved and sponsor this program. And they said, well, it's a really good plan, but, you know, you got a felony. You've been involved in trouble. We're a little afraid of you. And, you know, you're black and you're big and you got a beard and you got locks. So, no, we can't do it. He finally goes to this one bank. And the bank is looking to come up in the community and help. The bank has got their name on bus benches and all this kind of stuff. The bank is talking about it's a community bank. They love his business plan. He basically jumps through every hoop he needs to jump through with that bank. They're going to give him $3 million and help him with this plan that's going to help community. He gets to the place where he's only got to see one more person who's going to sign off on this deal. Now, check this out. This is deep. He's sitting in the waiting room waiting to see the person. They've already agreed that they're going to sign his deal. He's going to get the deal to help to do this program to help his community. His community. As he's waiting for the man that's going to sign the papers, he gets sniffles. He starts sniffing. One eye starts watering. He gets a cold sweat. Then he starts coughing. He starts sneezing. Finally, the man who is going to sign the papers says, come on in. And he says, man, it's really good to meet you. I'm glad to have you here. This is going to be a great project. This is going to be wonderful for our community. But the brother is sniffing, sneezing, cold, sweaty. And it seems like something's wrong with him. And the man says, well, are you okay? He says, I don't, he can't even really explain. He can't talk because he's going through these states of whatever right now, illness. And the guy says, well, you don't seem too good right now. I'll tell you what. Why don't you go home, you know, come back in 2 weeks when you feel a little better, and we'll sign the deal.
Damn.
He leaves. He gets outside. He's sitting on the bus stop. The bus stop has the bank's name on it. He stops. Smith goes away.
The program took over.
The program took over.
Damn, this, that was a hell of a story.
I ain't done with the story yet. Hold on now.
Yeah.
He goes back home. He's depressed. You know, oh, my God, I messed the deal up. He says, I'm going to go back. He gets himself together. He doesn't really have a cold or a flu or anything. He feels great. 2 weeks later, he's all pumped up, got his suit on, right? He drinks some tea, drinks some holy basil tea because he heard that holy basil will help with his nervous system, help with his immune system. And he's sitting there waiting for the man to come out. And he sits in the office, and they say, well, who are you here to see? They say, well, I'm here to see such and such. They say, oh, well, you know, he no longer works for the bank. He got another job, and he left. This is the guy that's supposed to sign off on his deal. The person who's supposed to sign off is no longer there. The brother, I don't know, says, man, I heard that you can help with mental parasites, ghosts and things in my head. Something is wrong with me. I need to get my mother out my head. And what we realized was that he was so engulfed, his subconscious was so engulfed in failure and dispute and fighting and war, and he was what? Creating a sense and a space of illness based on him being like his father. He was the saboteur. He was the one who cut his own throat. He did this not consciously. He did it subconsciously because that was the program. His mama gave it to him through repetition. So we worked for, I think it was like maybe 6 weeks. He came to see me every day for almost 6 weeks. And I began to teach him how to reprogram and do what's called pattern interrupt. So we did the breathing. You know, we do this thing called the rubber band trick where you take a rubber band and put it on your wrist. And every time you start feeling certain states of consciousness, you pop the rubber band, which begins to reprogram the subconscious because the subconscious doesn't really like pain. But sometimes you got to go through pain, right, and break through the glass ceiling, right, to get to the place of peace. Do you know, after we worked with this man, he did the parasite cleansing. He did everything. He got the meetings. you know, that we used to have in our place Elevation on Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles. And he comes back, man. He disappeared for about 6 months. And he comes back, and he's driving fly-ass car. I think it was a Mercedes or something. He jumps out with his suit. He says, Dr. B, man, I just want to thank you. I said, what happened, man? How you doing? He says, man, guess what? Guess what? I got the deal. This dude goes on to put together this, I think it was my Daddy Cries something. It was about men who lost their children or didn't connect to their children anymore. He was putting the fathers back with the children. He was creating all these programs to help build community. He became very wealthy. I think as he's still there, he became big in Los Angeles. We helped him break the program. But in order to break the program, you got to be ready to go into the darkness. You got to be ready to go into the shadow. We got to go back in there and find out what's happening. And then we have to create an opposite force. See, emotion is energy in motion. Energy in motion tends to stay in motion until acted upon by an equal or opposite force. I'm going to say it again. Energy in motion, which is emotion, tends to stay in motion until acted upon by an equal or opposite force. That's what's called a pattern interrupt. Once you're able to interrupt the pattern, programming becomes conscious, and you know about it, and you can catch it, and you can begin to do something. Something physical, something mental, something spiritual that actually changes the program. For instance, sister came to me. This is another story. Sister came to me. She hates her daddy. Why? Because daddy ain't no good. Why did daddy ain't no good? Because he's no good. He left us as children. We were struggling with my mother and five children, and he was this. I said, will you ever meet daddy? No, I never met daddy. Well, why is daddy so bad? Because my mother said, blah, 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 daddy. Daddy, we even you don't have no pictures of daddy in the house. I said, have you met daddy? No. Well, where is daddy? Is daddy alive? Well, daddy's alive. I heard he's somewhere, but yeah, yeah. I said, well, in order to fix your issues, because she was having all these sad challenges. She was having miscarriages. She was having broken relationships. She was having a lot of issues. She used to bite her nails. She couldn't stop biting them. Her hair, she was pulling her hair out. She had bald spots. Did whatever he did. Now, daddy, she don't even know whether. He didn't have any actual proof. Mama was the proof. I said, well, let's do this. Are you willing to break the spell? She said, yes. I said, find your father. Find out where he is. Well, she found out where he is. I said, call him. And let's set up a meeting with you and your father. She called. And she says, I'm your daughter. And he says, wow, I know who it is. I'm glad you finally called. Listen, I'm going to send you some money and some tickets. I want to meet you. Let's meet in Jamaica. So they go to Jamaica, and they meet in Jamaica, and she meets her father. Her father grabs her, and he's crying and crying and looking at her. I'm so proud of you. And she's stiff. You know, she don't even want to hug him because she hates him. And he says, how was college? So what would you know about college? You weren't there. He says, I paid for your college. She says, what do you mean? You remember that money that you got that just came in the mail that paid for your college education? That was me. You know the first bike that you had? I paid for that bike. The house that your mama has that she don't pay no mortgage in, I bought that house. You and all of your brothers and sisters have been being supported by me since the beginning.
Oh, wow.
So why did you leave us? So I had to leave. They threatened you guys, the family. They were taking out the families of those people. So I had to disappear in faith, my disappearance and death to save y'all. But I put together money for the whole family to live. I loved you. It hurt me so much. I now have heart disease. I've got all these problems because I couldn't contact y'all because if I did, I thought that it might, sometimes these organizations will take you out. He loves her. They talk. They sit by the beach. She gets a beautiful connection to her father. She finds out that she's a lot like him in beautiful ways. All of a sudden, stops biting her nails. Her hair starts growing back. She becomes very successful because she got a new connection. And she was able to break the pattern and break the spell that she was given about her daddy that was not based in actual facts.
Exactly. powers.
Sometimes when you meet what you call the enemy, you find out that that is something in you that you have stored in yourself based on gossip, based on hearsay, third party, fourth party, fifth party, based on belief systems that may not be actual facts. But you programmed it, and the subconscious now is reacting and causing illness because the subconscious will cause illness.
Mm.
It'll make you sick. For a lot of folks, the subconscious is like the security guard. So when you go down in the file cabinet of the five-year-old and you want to change that old programming, there's a guardian. This is called an energetic guardian at the file cabinet or at each folder in your subconscious. So this stuff that happened, let's go back to 5 years old. You're ready to fix it. And you go to the file cabinet and kind of open the subconscious file cabinet at the five-year-old. And the guardian says, who are you? And I'm back. And, you know, you work for me. And, you know, I want to fix this. What happened at 5 years old? And the subconscious says, no. Do you know the code? Do you have the combination? There's a lock to get in. No, I do. It's me. That was me at 5 years. Well, you don't look the same. You don't talk the same. I don't recognize you. But I'm you. I'm 25, and, you know, no, you're not. You don't sound the same. You don't act the same. In fact, your cells are not the same because every 7 years, every part of your body renews itself. You're not the same person that you were at 5 years old. You have the memory. Or what they call the miasma, which is the smell and the vibration of an event, but you are not that event. The only thing that keeps telling you that event is the program in your head. It's in your head. How are you going to get in this file to fix what happened at 5 years old? So you can run and jog and do yoga. You got your singing bowl. You're dancing around with your sage and all this kind of stuff. The subconscious, well, you can do all that. We got a tight program here. We're guarding all the memories because you as an adult, we still programmed around the issues that you had as a child. You haven't broken those habits yet. How do you get in?
Mm.
What? Through the help of Dr. Bruce Lipton, he directs me to go take this course in psychological kinesiology. Psychological kinesiology has to do with muscles. Muscle testing, and remember I said the subconscious is stored in your body, in your muscles, in your system, your physical body. When you can get a yes or a no from your subconscious about any event, and when you learn what's called a language syntax, a special line of code that you can put in your subconscious to change the program.
Mm.
Like a computer. Every computer has a programming language. Once you know the programming language, you can change what the computer does. So you have hardware, you have software. Software is kind of like your conscious mind. Hardware is that subconscious stuff. The software is almost like random access. But that hardware, this stuff has been stuck on the hard drive in your body. The hard drive is your body for a long time. So what we're able to do is we're able to find the back door of the subconscious and get in with, you know, that fire. And if I tell you right now that your muscles respond based on your states of consciousness, you will think about the lie detector. How does it work? They strap you up with all this stuff, and they ask you some baseline questions. So they can get a baseline to see, you know, how the little graph moves, if something is true, something is not real. Then they ask you some challenging questions. And how that graph moves is based on muscle tension, based on breathing, your states of breathing. And what they don't tell you, they're also looking at your eyes. Your eyes have a lot to do with what you're thinking. You are going through states of muscle tension based on what you're feeling. If something is factual, it actually happens, your muscles are firm and unwavering. When something is based on an idea that may not be an actual fact, your muscle gets a little weak. So let me show you really quick. Put your fingers together like this. Keep your fingers together like this. Make your chin level. 10 level eyes focused to the ground. There's a reason why, I'm going to talk about in a class on Saturday, why your chin must be level and your eyes focused to the ground. And think of something you like. And pull your fingers. They are very strong. It's hard to pull them apart. All right, now loosen your fingers a little bit. Now think of something you dislike. Pull your fingers. Say your name. Dr. B. Very strong. I say my name is Marianne. My fingers are weaker. A lot of times, if I ask a question about something you believe to be true, and we ask the subconscious by getting a yes or no through kinesiology, we can find out, is that an actual fact, or is it just a belief that you have? And I did this experiment in L.A. a lot of times. I had, like, preachers would come to me. And I said, you believe in God? And he's like, yes, brother, I believe in God. And of course, you know, I'll speak to the, you know, the word. I'm the man of the cloud. Let me put your fingers together. Or we do it sometimes with the arm. You know, we can be pressure on the arm. I said, well, say, I believe in God. And we do this muscle testing. And the arm will go weak. I thought you said, wait a minute, Dr. B. You put no pressure on that. You messing with me now, Let's do that again. I know I believe in God. Your ego does. No, you don't. We don't even know what that is. Because what your subconscious is programmed with and what you believe to be so is two different things. So if you say, I forgive myself, and test, I forgive myself, and you test, I forgive myself, and you find that you're getting weak, you don't forgive yourself. Your ego says, no. Man, I've been to all the metaphysical classes. Man, I walked up Stone Mountain. Man, I got this special dish. Man, I'm eating them vegan. You know, I'm conscious. I'm woke. The body says something in your ego mind. So through kinesiology, we can test and get a yes or a no about everything. And another thing we can do is use a pendulum. We can use a pendulum. Once you know how to program the pendulum, which we're going to talk about on Saturday, you can get a yes or no about anything, because this is kinesiology too, because energy is coming out of your right arm down into the string, and it's affecting the thing. This is actually a crystal. This is a jade, ancient jade crystal. Actually, it's a serpentine. It's a very special type of stone. But we can get a yes or a no out of almost anything. Your body becomes a little weaker when the actual facts are not present. You're creating. It's a memory that's not based on actual facts. Once we get a baseline of what's real and what is an imagination or a belief or a perception, now we can reprogram the person. So let's say, go back to the father again. We're on the father today. So let's say the thing is you realize that, you know, your father did all these terrible things. And you think that things that actually happened, or your mother or whoever. If you could put in your program that my father challenged me to be a great person. You're like, no, wait a minute, no. You know, he did this to me, or she did that, or they did all these things to me. If you could get it in your head that was the test for the ninja. That was the test for the master to move through those issues, to jump those hurdles. Right? Because you're making a crystal or you're creating a diamond through pressure, through heat, through alchemy. You've got to put pressure on yourself. You've been through a lot of stuff, but did you come through it? The winner always tests themselves. They're always pushing the envelope. They're not sitting around crying about what happened to them in the last race. When you run in a race as a great runner, you know, I have a friend who's a great runner. He's not looking back to see who's running with him and what the other people are doing. That's going to slow him down. You stay focused on your goal. So imagine you're focused on only the goal, and you realize that the things that you feel are testing you, the things that you feel that are disagreeable, or the things that you feel are the enemy are actually giving you power. Now you understand the art of war. You let the opposition bring you the weapon. See, everything has its opposite. This whole thing about peace on earth, what the heck is that? You ain't going to have no earth that's just peace. laying around doing nothing. You got to have trial and tribulation. Without that, without those two, the dichotomy, the opposition. You see, without that contrast in your life, you will be nothing. You must have contrast. See, we sit around and we become like punks because we're, you know, we don't like contrast. You know, I don't like people talking about me. You want to talk about me? I'm going to take what you're saying and use that as fuel. You think I'm crazy? Yes, I am. Dr. D, and we think you're a fool. Yeah, you know, I thought the same thing myself. You can't hurt me anymore. You remember, what was that, Handyman? What was that in Living Color? The brother that was in the wheelchair? Remember the show Living Color?
Yeah, I remember the guy. I know who you're talking about.
And they used to be, see? What was, who played that?
What? That was Damon, right?
Damon. He was handicapped, right? He couldn't feel it. He was a paraplegic. He had no feeling in his body. So the criminals would come in, and they would beat him up, right? And he's sitting there while they're beating him and says, you can't hurt me anymore. He couldn't feel it. You can't hurt him any more than he's already hurt. Can't nobody hurt you more than you hurting yourself. You kicking your own ass worse than anybody who kicks your ass. It's the enemy.
Enemy is the enemy.
You're in an abusive relationship. You'll stay in it as long as what? The abuse of the person on the outside doesn't match the abuse you got for yourself. When the person on the outside rises above the amount of abuse that you're doing for you to yourself, with yourself, by yourself, in yourself, you won't change. But if you keep talking about the enemy and what they are doing, you give they the power because they become God. When you talk about Dr. B, T-H-E. The, whenever you say the or the, you're basically talking about the creation. The dog, the creation, it's a part of the system, the universal God of all things. Say the, they, any of that, you're giving it the power of a God thing. It's a part of the God thing. So when you say they, what they are doing, and we use this, and this is a good one, what they are doing to us. Now, you might have gone to a lecture or a class and didn't even know what they were doing. You live in a cabin. All you know is the stream is beautiful and you see Bambi every morning. You make your firewood, you know, you drink your yerba mate tea or, you know what I'm saying, eat some passion fruits because they come in the fall. They're out there growing right now. You have some goldenrod tea. You're living a very peaceful life. And you go into the city every once in a while. And when you get to the city, it's drama. People talk about how bad it is. It's terrible. You didn't know anything about it. So unless you live in a peaceful, blissful state, you will allow the perceptions of the city to affect you. And it infects you in yourself. Then what's happening outside won't affect you until it comes to your door. I remember one time I went to a lecture, man, you know, and this is when I first learned about the reptilians. Man, I left about it there so scared. I'm looking at the news, and it looks like the president's eyes is turning into reptiles. I mean, I didn't ever hear about this before until I heard about it. Then I went and got all the books of David Icke. Oh, boy, the reptilian agenda. Everything was reptilian. Are you supposed to get some little plastic dinosaurs, some plastic, you know, lizards, and put them on an altar to keep the reptilians from your house? And one day I went home, and I was telling my father about this, and he was sitting there listening, drinking his tea. He used to drink his decaffeinated coffee. I didn't understand. Well, why don't you just not drink coffee if it's decaffeinated? Well, it ain't coffee. But anyway, we're sitting here drinking this Maxwell House half. Actually, this is Maxwell House because it's only half a coffee. Anyway, we're sitting there, and I'm telling him about the reptilians and all this stuff, and he's just calm. He says, so you really believe this stuff, huh? I'm upset, man. Man, you know, I got army clothes on now. You know what I'm saying? I got reptilian repellent. I got the books in my suitcase. And he says to me, so as long as you believe this, it's real. Well, Dad, do you believe it? He says, it doesn't make any difference what I believe. You believe it's real. Have you ever seen a person turn into a reptile? No. Well, he said, well, where did you get this from? I said, I went to this lecture. And everybody in the room was upset, and it was a whole deep thing. And he says, so now you brought something that's an idea and made it an ideal, and it's become hardened. You've taken this thing that's an idea and it's real for you. Until you realize that that may not be real for you because you haven't had an actual experience with some reptilian being, until you get that and you're able to reprogram yourself and find peace, you're going to be haunted forever. I was pissed at my father. This is what I'm talking about. You'll never believe me. He says, listen, I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of things. And I also asked my father about racism. This is very interesting. I'm always talking about racism back in the day. I had on the army clothes, you know, the boots. I'm militant. I was a militant for real. We weren't talking about stuff. We was doing stuff. Okay? So different. My father says, you're really into all this kind of stuff, between the reptilians and, you know, the militant thing. And he says, what you are, you're a rebel without a cause. He says, you're rebelling against something you don't even understand. Mm. You don't even know what it's about. I said, but Dad, look at all the racism that you've been through. Now, I was with my father when they did and called him some racist things. I was with him one time when they surrounded the car. You know, me and him was out in the country ride, and the car got surrounded, and it seemed like they was about to take us out. So my father waved his hand and did this special little thing, and they all kind of went into some type of state of consciousness and drove away. I don't know what he did, but he waved his hand in a special way. And I said, Dad, but you know that these people are racist. He says, well, that may be, but I have never experienced racism. Oh, man, do you know the sweat broke out on me? My father, what is wrong with you? He says, see, you have to perceive it for it to be real to you.
Now, this is a lecture.
I became the first black person, my father's four or five things that he did in our hometown, in our city. He was the first black person. He was the first black engineer of one of the major corporations there, my father. They gave him an engineering degree. He didn't even go to school for it. They gave it to him because he was so intelligent, and they fought him all the way to the top. He says, I took the very thing that they threw at me and turned it into power.
Oh.
I was doing the alchemy, the transformation. He called it transmutation. He didn't call it alchemy. I would do the transmutation. Whatever they sent towards me, I'd convert it and use it. So I haven't experienced racism. Even though there might be racist people, I can choose to experience it or not. And I learn how to do the magic so that it can't touch us. While we live in this neighborhood and you have the education that you have and all the things that you have right now, because I'm constantly changing the energy. I said, but Dad, what was that thing you did? You waved your hand. He said, Dad, let's just call it magic. He says, you got the power to do that. We all do. Mm. Once you get it through your head that you have this power and stop living as a victim.
Now, Dr. D.
Did I cause some trouble?
Yeah. You got to be careful. There's a thin line. I am a magician. I do believe in, you know, spirit realm and alchemy. But there's a thin line, Dr. D, between being an alchemist and being a coon, shucking, jiving house nigga. So we got a lot of coon, shucking, jiving house niggas in the media who say that shit. OJ said, Jay-Z made a song about it. I'm not black, I'm OJ. Then they run, then they line that nigga up just as fast as can be. A lot of black people say that shit. They don't mean it. They say it out of fear. They think that's the solution, and that shit comes back to bite them. And that's what that Paul Mooney called their nigga wake-up call. So that works, but with all people, you got to be careful when you say that because they lie. You get caught up out there, doctor. Tell me what you think about it.
First, I didn't mention anything about being a coon.
No, I know you didn't.
But I'm saying we have to realize all have certain powers that are latent in us, and everything is energy. It's not what's happening. It's how you perceive it and how you use your energy, how you move.
Yeah.
It stuff is happening. There is ugliness out there. There is what you might call evil. There are beings that are like wolves and, you know, creatures that are attempting to suck your energy. When you are sure of yourself, when you are courageous, I'm not talking about a huge-ass ego. I'm talking about you're courageous and you're centered in yourself. You have a better chance of getting through the storm when you're more flexible, because like the flower that's in the windstorm, the one that is flexible after the storm, that flower is still there. The one that's stiff and stern and angry and it's always, and you're always fighting a war, even when there's no war going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are forces out there that will take your ass out. Like a dog can smell fear. They see yellow. A dog can smell it. But there's a way you can look, look a dog in the eye. Actually, you look away, look down. And change your vibration. Change the way the essence of yourself is. So you can create a vortex. We're creating a vortex. And that vortex is either working for us or against us. So there's this energy moving around you like a tornado at all times. It's moving. What I am saying is that we have a chance to convert things. That doesn't say that things are not going to happen to you that are challenging. That's not to say that you're not going to get sick or go through a disease or somebody's going to do something to you that could hurt you. That could happen. I'm saying that once we get to this place where we live and we become the soul man, the soul woman, to stop joining into a bunch of stuff that really don't have nothing to do with you. Some of these arguments, right? Some of these things that you're existing in, you're bringing to yourself. You're attracting it. Things are going to happen anyway. Yes, things are going to happen. Challenges every single day. It was a challenge for me to be here on this call with you today. A whole bunch of things happened today.
Mm.
I was focused on being here.
Mm-hmm.
And I got here just in time. And see, it was really weird because usually, you know, Brother Rich said we're going to be on at a certain time, but a whole bunch of stuff is happening in his world, so it's like 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later. I get here today, and I'm sitting down having my tea, and he's sending me a message saying, bro, we on, and what's happened? I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I haven't fixed my hair right. I haven't got the right Dr. B hairdo yet. You see, it's kind of afro-ish. But I was focused on what? A destination. And here's the key. When you realize you're the captain of your ship, when you get to the point where you realize that the whole journey is about you, you must first have a destination as the captain. Where are we going? We're going to Australia. Now, how should not come yet? It should be what first. Then you're going to need why. Here we go. You know you'd like to get from A to B. You'd like to be wealthy. You'd like to have a new house. You'd like a beautiful love life. Or you'd like to, you know, move past the state of illness and disease. First, you need to know what is it that you desire. And Brother Rich, this is the biggest thing I find with clients. When I ask them what it is they desire, most of them almost can't explain it. It may take time for them to say what they do not desire, or what they actually desire. For instance, I have some clients who are celebrities, and this one is one of the top motivational speakers there is. He's one of my clients. I'm his coach. And he says, when I first meet him, he says, you know, Dr. B, I don't know why you're here. I don't need you. His daughter hired me to help him. I don't need you. I said, what do you mean you don't need me? He says, well, I didn't call you. I said, well, your daughter did, so I'm here. So he says, well, look, let me tell you something, man. It's something I say every day. I get up every morning, and I stand on the stand outside, and I look up at the sun, and I say, I have beat cancer. I have beat heart disease. I have beat liver disease. I have beat diabetes. And he goes down the list, and he pumped up. I have beat high blood pressure. And we halfway through, I said, sir, stop. I said, stop. He said, what do you mean, stop? You don't stop me. You know who I am? I said, I know who you're not.
Mm.
I said, and I know what spell you're putting. You wound yourself into a spell. You called disease to me. He said, what are you saying? Because you said, I have beat cancer. I have beat blah, blah, blah. I have beat. Do you know when you mention the problem pops up and your subconscious says, here it is again. We're going through it again. And I don't hear the word beat. What does beat mean? That means it's a rhythm. I'm in the rhythm of cancer. I'm in the rhythm of heart disease. Cancel, cut, delete, clear, all of that. I got to say that to stop that program so it don't pop, build up in me. Cancel, cut, delete, clear. He said, well, what am I going to say in the morning since you're so smart? Since you think you thought you got an attitude, right? I said, why don't you just get up in the morning and say, what do you mean? It ain't got no thing. It ain't got no rhythm on it. I can't get, because, you know, a lot of us, you know, motivational speakers, you get into a vibe like a preacher. You know, you got to have that, it's got to keep it going. It's got to be rhythmic. There's no rhythm in, I am grateful, I am healthy. It's just too easy. I said, try it for 7 days. The only thing you do for 7 days when you wake up is say, I am grateful, I am healthy. 7 days later, I get a call early in the morning. It's you, Dr. B. What are you doing? He says, get out of bed right now. I got money on the table, man. Come see me. And he gets up. And when I came before, he's walking with a cane. He's not walking with a cane. He gets up, puts on some music, and begins to dance. Bro. He says, man, where'd you come from? I ain't never heard of you. I said, it's best you never heard of me, because then you would have formed opinions about me.
Mm.
He created a vortex, an energy field, by throwing into the quantum field not what the problem was. He only brought up the state of consciousness that he would like to, what, exist in.
Come on.
He created the material from an idea. Your ideas are waves. And when the waves get the quantum, when they vibrate in the quantum field, they create material.
Mm.
He's not walking with a cane. We went to the store and drove around. He walked through the store. I said, what do you need to buy? And so he says, nothing. I just wanted to hang out with you, man. You cool. He says, I feel good, but I ain't got no pain, man. It's crazy. My doctor, and I went to see my doctor Wednesday. He took me off 3 medicines. What did we do? We just got him. Now, I'm not saying that there's no disease out there and there's no wolves and there's no problems in the world. You, as the captain, must state what is it you desire and state it as if it's here now. Your languaging, right, this is where the language comes in, has to be first person positive present tense. First person positive present tense. First person positive present tense to be a good captain. You got to act and feel as if you're already at the destination. Feel it. You can feel Australia or Jamaica or wherever it is. You can feel the new house. You can feel yourself walking, being healthy again. You can feel it. You build up this state of consciousness, and you fake it until you make it. And guess what? The subconscious says, oh, we got a new program.
Mm.
And you, through repetition, keep what? Breathing this new program through your breath, which is the I. I am the first person. Grateful. That means full of greatness. I am healthy. I am grateful. I am healthy. Say it every day. Try it. This is some deep medicine, but it's so simple. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to read 1,000 books. You can just take this one thing and change your whole life. You're talking about you want to be married. I get a lot of, you know, sisters coming to me telling me, I want to be married. I say, are you married? No, I'm not. Ain't no good men out there. Well, you can forget it. You might as well leave. There's no good men. Well, all the men are blah, 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 blah. Well, you believe that, don't you? So that's the truth, so get out. Oh, hey, you going to change that? No, I can't. Because you're not married to yourself.
Come on.
You got to be evenly yoked with yourself.
Bird.
You got to be marrying material. Would you marry you?
Uh-oh.
You know, would you marry you in this state? Do you really love yourself? Do you trust yourself? Because your subconscious mind cannot perceive or conceive of anything outside of self. So what you're saying about people and about they, you are internalizing. You have now become the enemy. You are the government agent. Oh, boy, where we go, Dr. B?
Conscious government agent, huh?
What are we talking about? What are we talking about now?
Without pay. About to get in some trouble now, bro. Some good trouble?
What do you mean I'm a government agent? I told this brother one time, I said, it's the problem with you. And he was my partner. He was my business partner. We're in the herbal business together.
Mm.
The problem with you is you're a government agent. What you mean? I ain't no government agent. He just all upset. I said, look how you acted. We didn't even need to break down what government was. Let's talk about what the government. The government is means that you inside yourself are governing your actions. You keep talking about how it's going to be so hard, right? And what the government's going to do, they're about to take herbs off the map. Herbs is going to be illegal. They're about to get rid of vitamin C. That was his talk. I said, well, that's it. We should forget it. Let's quit. But you're being a government agent. You're not in control of your government. You're not governing yourself. You're not the president. You're not the mayor. You're not the CEO of your life because you're caught up in what somebody else is telling you causing fear. So you already see loss and pain. We can't be partners no more because out of order. See, a lot of us became government agents because we grew up and were brought up by people who were government agents. What do you mean? Well, no, they didn't go down and join the government. They weren't, you know, working for the government like that. They were a part of the world of disagreeable energy. They learned the language of disempowerment. We learned to talk about the problems and not talk only and look at, we spent more time talking about the problems than the solutions. And we very seldom are able to say what is the destination that we would like. What is the state? Where would you like to be? A lot of people say, well, I want $1 million. That's okay, you like $1 million. What are you going to do with $1 million? What do you mean? I'm going to have $1 million. No, you don't have $1 million because if you don't know what to do with $1 million, the government's taking half. So you're going to have $500,000. So you need to at least maybe ask for at least $1 million. But money is not real. Money is just something you use to exchange. So you may not want to say, well, you may not choose to say you want $1 million. Because that's elusive, because $1 million today is different than what it is 10 years ago. The value of money is dropping every moment. It's fiat. What would you like to do with $1 million? What do you mean what I want to do? You get $1 million, you know what you get. You know what I'm saying? What would you do with $1 million? This is the what. After an hour or two of sitting talking, we find out that the person would like to be on the beach and feel the ocean water running across their body and feel the sun and visit the pyramids and help to feed people who need food all over the world and do these random acts of kindness. That is your what. If we set up the vortex and the state of consciousness around that, and every day we repeat it and feel it as if it's happening, and that's casting the net. You're casting your net into the quantum field every day by feeling, not just seeing, but feeling, hearing the sound of the place, hearing what you'd be saying when you're in the place, feeling it, hearing it, and seeing it. You do that every single day. All of a sudden, you change dimensions around you. And because there's at least 144 dimensions, that means there's 144 versions of you. Some people say 144,000. Let's just make it a little simpler. If there's 144 dimensions, that means there's 144 versions of you. Each one of them is a little different. One of them is already on that beach. One of them is already at that place. So you're about to change, right, your dimensions, change your space by creating a vortex, by saying what it is you desire and acting and feeling as if you're there and being grateful in advance. I'm thankful for that beach trip. I'm thankful for, you know, whatever it is, for the new home and the beautiful neighborhood. I'm thankful for the husband or the wife or the beautiful love affair. Thankful in advance as if you have it now. Now, here's the next thing, bro. That's not quite enough. So the subconscious is saying, you know the hell, man. Come on, man. How you going to get $1 million? You ain't never even been to a good beach. You went to a bad beach, man. It was a terrible beach. How are you going to do that? You came up with a family. Nobody's been to college. Nobody's had anything. Your uncle's grandfather, his family is a vampire. Your mother's crazy. Subconscious is playing back old programs. So this is how you break the spell. They're not listening. You don't need to know.
Mm-hmm. Your eyes forward, Dr. B.
Once you are able to feel, hear, and see yourself in the state of your desires, you begin to think from the desire. You begin to think from it. Because in your sub, you created a vortex, and the subconscious thinks it's actually happening. You're thinking from it. You're not thinking about it or to it. You're thinking from it. The next thing you need to do is put in your program why. Your why is your fuel. Oh, man, this is a good one. Why would you like to be sitting on the beach? Why would you like to have this beautiful house and this beautiful love life? Why would you like to be healthy, wealthy, and wise? When you get your why together, and the why becomes bigger than you, because see, check it out. A lot of our what, you become greedy when you're in survival mode. That's greedy. A lot of countries and states and nations and people are in, they're in survival mode, so they're greedy. So whatever they can get, they want it all. We're going to take all the water. We need water. We're going to take it all. We need money. We're going to get all the money. It's going to be about me. That's greed. When it becomes about aspiration, a spiraling energy. It's a spiral. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual. Spiritual means spiritual. A spiral is the only shape that can touch everything. When you are spiraling, you are moving along with the vibrational energy of your helix, the double helix of your genes, the way the planets and stars move. Everything here is a spiral. When you begin to spiral by saying, well, we'd like to be on the beach and have the beach house, because behind the beach house is going to be a retreat center. But we're going to take children who have been through whatever, and we're going to help teach them. We're going to help people who've been through challenge and disease, and we're going to do projects to help people who might have less. Now you move from greed to aspiration. So now you have your what, and your what is not just personal for you. So when you say, let's just put this one in the air. I think I've said this before on the show. If you just repeat, I am healthy, wealthy, and wise, or I allow myself to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, the subconscious may boot that out after a while. It's just, you tripping, man. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. You know, you ain't from no family that has that. Everybody in your family got blah, 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 blah. But if you tag it, you ready for the tag? I allow myself to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and assist others in doing the same, while helping others do the same. You just took a personal want and a need and took it from greed and me, and spread it out. And when you say to help others do the same, the energy gets huge. The fuel gets gigantic. Because now you are saying that I'm not just going to take from the quantum realm. I'm not just draining energy. I'm not just a parasite, because you were born to act like a parasite because you were taught by parents. You begin to say, we're going to give back to others and help others do the same. That becomes your fuel. When I was sick and I was about to pass away, I got to this place where I began to thank the Most High for being healthy. Now here I am about to, since I'm 30 years old, I'm done. Even though I'm wealthy, I got all this money, it don't mean anything because I'm sick, because I've eaten myself to death. I've been in grief and sad and depressed and drugged out. I've been killing myself. It wasn't until I said it began to, I was thankful for being healthy, wealthy, and wise. And then I said to the Most High, I said, please, when this happens, I'm going to help other people for the rest of my life. I will spend the rest of my life helping other people get over their drama, their trauma, helping people heal. And I was thankful to the Most High, to the entities, to the angels, to ancestors. I kept saying, I'm grateful to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, while inspiring others to do the same. What I am doing is inspiring other people to do what is, everybody has the ability to do this. When you have your what, you have your desire, and you live as if the desire is happening now, and you live from the desire, imagine the desire has already happened, and then the why are you doing this thing? Why do you want the money? Why do you would you like to have a beautiful, loving relationship? Because I'd like to have wonderful children and help other people and be a role model. Your why becomes really broad when you start saying it's not just about me and me and a few people. We'd like to help everyone. Now you become an altruist. When you become an altruist, you're doing what you're doing because you're here to help and assist others, and it's not just about you and greed. All of a sudden, the floodgates begin to open. And when the floodgates open, your vortex, your energy field grows, because all of the entities and energies for good in the universe begin to work with you. Because right now it's a conspiracy between you and the entities, or you and whatever's outside of you. You know, your conscious and your positive and your negative. It's a conspiracy. It's a war going on. It's a fight. Until you surrender and say, I am here to do this thing. I would like to reach this goal so that I can help others. That is the secret. Now, why, how is not your business. Because what happens is the business starts happening from the isness of you being in the is, which is right now. You're in the place of radiating the energy of love, harmony, peace, togetherness. And you'll get more of it. It will build up and compound the energy. Because if you had an idea about something, your body thinks it's really happening. The subconscious figures it's happening. You know, there was an experiment where they took these people, and they all needed a knee surgery. The tendons or, what you know, whatever they needed a knee surgery. So they divided them into three groups. And I think, yeah, this was Dr. Bruce Lipton broke this down to me, and he says, they cut the knee open of each one of these people. Actually, he didn't tell me. You know, sometimes you're watching the video, he's like he's talking to you, like I'm talking to you, my, you know, you. So when I say he, anyway, cut the knee open. And they show, first, no, let me back up. Let me tell the story correctly. They show the video of the exercise or the surgery that we're going to do on these people's knees. They showed it. They showed a video. Everybody saw the surgery that they were going to receive. Then they took the people and divided them into groups. One group, they cut the knee open and fixed the tendons in the knee, closed them up. The knee open, sprayed water or a saline solution in the knee, didn't sew up the tendons, and sewed them back. The third group, they cut the knee open and didn't do anything at all. Do you know when they did this, all three of them healed at the same time, but the one that they didn't really do much to besides cut them open, in fact, the one they didn't do anything to, had less pain, believed in their mind what was being done to them was real. And they had a scar and they had a bandage on their leg, so they all just assumed they had the operation, but the ones that they did very little to only left the scar, right? Only had you know, they sewed them up. They didn't have the technique done. They believed it to the point because they saw it, they heard about it, they were excited about it, they believed in their doctor, and guess what? They healed. You believe that something is out to get you, and there's forces working against you, And that is your thought. That becomes your destination. That is, you're the captain of the ship, and you're saying, that's where I'd like to go, because that's my languaging. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I believe in. That's what I feel. Excuse me. Let me get my water. Excuse me, y'all. I forget to drink water when I'm on the show. Ooh, nothing like that copper water. Put your water in a copper bottle. I got to take some herbs because, you know, Brother Rich, if you have me. That focus is amazing. I'm back now.
All right, brother.
All right. When your state of consciousness is that a bear is out there, there's wolves out there, there's badness, there's reptilians and reptilians, and there's all of these creatures and beings that are after you, comes your destination, and you are on the microphone as the captain of your ship, your body, your vessel, broadcasting. Now hear this. There's a battlefield out there. It's going to be tough. We may die. And there's icebergs out there, and there's giant octopuses and poison squids. Once you get worked up into the emotion, the energy in motion tends to stay in motion until acted upon by an equal or opposite force. So your subconscious, it is in a state, right, where there is what? Resistance. There's pain already that didn't even happen. There's failure that didn't happen. You become the saboteur, and you begin to what? Be the saboteur, the pirate of your own mission. You are assuming and feeling and knowing and creating in the quantum field the thing that you're focused on the most. You're thinking from drama. You're thinking from pain. You're already there. You're already thinking of failure. You're already in struggle every day. The greatest medicine is your mind. Your mind is the best medicine. The first medicine is your mind. The first medicine is your mind. Mind is the first medicine. I'll be talking about that in the class. We're going to break down some techniques of this class on Saturday about the subconscious, the basics of the, or the introduction to the subconscious on Saturday. Go to elevationtime.com, elevationtime.com, elevationtime.com. Sign up for the class. Listen to me. We are not saying that there aren't challenges and there aren't isms in the world, beings that are attempting to stop you. But if you take it personal, then you can't get over the hump. One of the main rules is don't take it personal. And don't assume that they mean to do this to you, because they could just be crazy. Don't assume that your parents are trying to hurt you or not give you stuff. They didn't know. They gave you what they had. Now you get to change it. You get to do the transmutation by changing it into what is it that you desire. The first thing is you have to remember, if your desire is, you'll speak about it and focus on the dis-ease or the problems in the world. There's people, that's all they do. And that's what they're here to do, and it's okay, and it's no problem. That's not an issue. That's what you came to do. And that's your why. My why, if your why is to tell everybody about how bad it is, that's what you do. They're not bad people. But you have to make the choice each day. Each step you take has to be the choice of you being wise for yourself based on what your goal is. What is your goal? So you put that out front first. Where would you like to end up? What would you like? Even if it seems impossible, I'm telling you how to make the impossible possible. I have done it many, many times and have taught a lot of people to do this, to be ready to what? Forget about being yourself. You're going to have to do what? Break the what? The habit of being yourself. Break the habit of being yourself. You got to become supernatural. That's Dr. Joe Dispenza. Powerful dude. Once you break the habit of being yourself, if we could knock you out, right, and have you wake up with a different mindset, we're talking about brainwashing, It would be beautiful. You could take your brain out and scrub that sucker and get rid of all the stuff that's in your brain that's really not yours, because 95% of the stuff that you think and feel is not based on reality. But it is your reality, so what you do each day is you're going to focus yourself on what it is you desire, and then you need that why. Why are you desiring this thing? And the bigger the desire is, the more fuel it has, and you forget about why. Mm-hmm. Now you begin to reprogram your subconscious, and you begin to repeat over and over what it is you desire and feel it as if it's happening now. But we have been charged, because what happens in our society is the drama is what people gravitate towards, because they were brought up in drama. They were brought up in trauma. The news, I mean, how do they pick the news? They say if the story bleeds, that's the one that leads. The one with the most blood and gore. The movie with the most blood and gore. It's some deep movie. What was the movie? I can't even remember the name of it now. But all of these movies right now, it's a lot of, but they kind of have some blood and gore. Because these movies with the blood and gore, they attract people. And then they tuck a deep message in the blood and gore. Because people, there's something about that drama that attracts them. Because if the story is too loving and too peaceful, some folks are, oh, man, this is simp stuff. Man, it's just, man, come on, B. What are you talking about? It's rough out there in the world. You are creating reality. We together are creating reality. Your subconscious is being programmed in every second of every day based on your focus. Now, once you begin to breathe a certain way and take control of things when things are happening, you begin to reprogram yourself. Once you're able to reprogram yourself, your cells, every part of you, your DNA. There's DNA that fixes broken DNA. Do you know why your DNA that's supposed to repair other DNA doesn't work? Because you don't believe it. You keep telling your DNA, your drama, right, every day, your trauma, how bad it is. The first thing you're thinking when you're sitting on the toilet in the morning is about how bad it is, how tough it's going to be, and how you got to go to work and you hate your job. You reprogram yourself and say, well, this particular job is an investment because I'm going to take the money and invest it into what I desire. Now you don't hate the job. You just do the work because you're going to use the money or use whatever. If you're in a challenging relationship, you say, well, I'm in this challenging relationship, but what I'm going to do is use this to teach myself to not be in a challenging relationship. I've been through drama. I've been through hell. But because I've been through hell and to hell, now I'm going to create heaven on earth. Only 1% of the people, actually only 5% of the people on the planet are really able to do this. But most people live in misery. They live in depression. You know, let me break it down like this. When you're in shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, and always constant desire and craving, you are enslaved. So getting to the level of anger, so in the book of the master, in the map of consciousness, or actually in the power versus force, they show you the chart, and it says when you get to anger, huh? When you get to anger, which is at the level of 150 on the map of consciousness, energy level 150, at that point, you begin to change things. Because when you're angry, angry is up from depression. Check this out. Anger can become the fuel for movement. So if you're just depressed about what's going on, you're not really doing anything. You're pressed down. You're depressed. But when you get angry, I'm pissed off about this. I'm upset. I got to do something. Now you're starting to move your energy. Now, after you're in anger for a certain time, you begin to convert that to the next level, which is courage, or pride and courage. When you get to courage, you're up at 200. You move out of anger up into pride, being pride, knowing who I am, I have what I have, and I'm going to use all the things that I do have and stop worrying about what I don't have. I'm going to now turn that into courage. Formation, I'm empowered when I get to the level of courage, which is 200. When you get to the level of consciousness of 200, you're in courage mode. We got to get to the point of being courageous and say, I now desire this, and I know that it's available to me. But if you are caught up in the drama, because a lot of folks have been, like I say, they're programmed to move towards drama. They love the drama. They love it. The more deep the story is and the more about how the world is bad and it's coming to an end, it's been coming to an end since it started. So the subconscious, it is what? It is a servant. It is being programmed by you. So those old programs that you received when you were young can be transformed once you begin to walk a new path, talk a new path, find a new language. There's a language of empowerment, and there's a language of disempowerment. Language helps to fuel your thoughts. Because you think in words. There's a class that we're going to be teaching, you know, next year. Well, change your language, change your life. There's a powerful language that actually fuels you towards your what? Your goals. So if the man wakes up and says that, you know, he mentions all the problems that he has, or the woman or whoever, if you're talking about your problems all day, you trigger the files in your subconscious to say, yes, we're living in a world of drama, create more trauma. When I went to the AA meeting, it was all about, you know, it was all about us getting up talking about how we were still on drugs or we were still on whatever. I had to stop going. I said, wait a minute, I'm not on it. I haven't touched this stuff in years. So get up and say it anyway. Then I noticed that the people were hooked on sugar and chewing gum and eating donuts and smoking cigarettes and eating candy. I said, oh, so we're still hooked. We just moved it from what you call an illegal drug or something that wasn't socially accepted to something else. Mm-hmm. So now I'm hooked on something else. What we have to do is get hooked on love, hooked on peace, mm-hmm. hooked on the possibility of changing this thing, because we have the power right now to change everything, each of us. But once you realize that your thoughts, your actions, you see, they are all a song. What is the song you're singing? Which group? You see, when you have nerves and emotions that have a certain vibration, they attract more of themselves. You attract what you focus on. So, you know, I was moving, and, you know, I had all these books, so many books. And I looked at my book collection just before I moved, and I realized that these books were heavy. You couldn't put too many books in a box. I was like, man, I got to move all these books. I need a truck just for the books. Something came to me that 90% of my book collection was about the problems, the hidden hand, murder by such and such, the secret orders of blah, 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 the hidden da-da-da, the drinkers of blood and the disagree. It was all this stuff. The secret societies and the, who's controlling the world, the Federal Reserve of Reserves of, and what they're doing to us, and slavery and the runaway this, and 90% of my book collection was about problems. I took all those books, and they were like blown away because I had notes, and they said, man, wait a minute, Dr. B, you get rid of all these books? I said, yeah, you can have them. And it had, you know, highlight. You know how you highlight a book? You know, I wasn't just highlighting, I'd highlight whole pages. I might as well just highlight the book. In fact, the whole book was important. I really didn't need to highlight it, just read it. But, you know, when you get highlighting, that's deep. Oh, that's deep. Highlight. The whole book is yellow. You know what I'm saying? Because you didn't highlight all the disagreeable stuff about the world that you cannot control. I gave the books away. The dude still gave me a big handful of money because he said, man, these books got your signature in them. These books are worth a lot. I said, take them. And take the money and give it to some children in the neighborhood who are looking to, you know, do something good. Start a book club. The only books that I kept were the books about possibility, books about healing, the books that talked about creating a new world, a new earth, a new paradigm. I didn't carry all those books with me. I took the ones that were full of possibility. And I said, I've been, you know, because these books, I had them in my bedroom on my bookshelf. I'm sleeping with this stuff. I'm sleeping with the devil. I am the government agent. I've been programmed by the government to create my own demise and do self-harm to myself.
You know?
I am like I at that time was like a Manchurian candidate. I had been programmed by my world to do what? To teach people about how bad it was with no real solution, because you have to.
I want to pause right there and let everybody know we got 34 minutes left as for live showtime. But I want to say something. That is a powerful thing in letting go. You know what I'm saying? That he did. And that's something that we all can do in our lives, you know, just like really letting go. You know what I'm saying? And there comes a time when we are in our lives and when we feel like our back is up against the wall. And, you know, something, what I got from what he just stated was, don't give up right before the miracle happened. And I feel that his miracle was his awareness that he was holding on to his baggage of problems, something as minute as his book collection. Now I got to go in there and look at my book collection, because I got books galore, but I mainly got PDFs. And, you know, well, what I have created here at Ear, the website is going to be relaunching soon, too. But I do have a section on the website to where I give away PDF books. You know what I'm saying? The more valuable books are like 3 or 4 books, you know. And that's going to be a section on the website that I'm going to, you know, put together here at Ear for you guys a little later. But really, guys, it just makes you think. This whole, like I told you, you know, Enhancing Awareness Radio is a big classroom. I did not pre-listen to this lecture. I am, like, having my aha moments and learning right with you guys. I love sitting on the couch with you guys. But I have gotten so much soul food. And, again, my miracle was, you know, like the addictions and everything that he's talking about. You know, it's like when your back up is against the wall, right before you want to give up, it's like an epiphany that comes over you, and you just let go. But you do it not to please anybody, but not to please others, but you do it in a way that is satisfactory to your personal soul health, your personal divinity. Oh, this is powerful, guys. I don't know. Let's see how long. Again, guys, the full clip is in the show notes. Yeah, because we got a whole nother hour of this. Hold on. Let's see. Let's see how it goes. I'm not going to do a part two. If you want to go to the full lecture, you click the link, go subscribe to his channel, Black Magic. Magic is with a K, 363, and that's on YouTube. You'll love the content there. Dr. B, I'm going to post his link tree. I'm going to try to post his link tree here. Yeah, see if I can work this out with his link tree. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to post his link tree in the show notes, guys. You know, be in contact with him as well.
Listen, sometimes a lot
I'll
of
be back to close
talking
out.
About, there ain't no solution to it. So if you have two circles, and one circle is the things of your life that you can't control, make a circle. And write in that circle all the things that you cannot control. If you focus on that circle every day, that circle expands. Make another circle. Write in that circle the things that you can control. If you focus on the circle or the cipher or the womb of what you can control, that womb, that room begins to expand. Doesn't mean you're not going to have opposition. In fact, this is the challenge. This is what makes you stronger. That even though you had opposition, you kept focusing on the possibility.
Yep.
If we do not do this now, if you we as a as beings don't do this, it's over. Because right now the vibration of the planet is speeding up. We're in the quickening. This thing is spinning faster than they ever saw before. The scientists are really confused at what's happening because they've never seen this. Energy and the vibration is speeding up, and the planet is beginning to renew itself. It needs to spin and heat up. If we don't stay in sync with the song that the earth is singing, we get sick. We kill ourselves. We come to our own demise. We destroy ourselves. Because when you are a part of a hive or a culture, and you keep introducing into the hive something that's poisonous, you're going to have what's called colony collapse disorder. See, the bees are deep. The bees, queen bee is running the show. She's giving the orders. And check this out. Did you know all the queen bees on the planet act as one unit? So you think, well, that's a hive over there, and there's a queen in there. No, all the queens in that hive act together in concert, connected to the vibration of the earth. This is deep, y'all. The hive is like a community, the program to do certain jobs. The queen assigns each bee something to do. So she may wake up and say, okay, today, you know, she's the queen bee. I need y'all to fly over to the field of dandelions and Mr. Edwards' front lawn. He's got a lot of good dandelions. The queen bee, she's giving orders, and she's dancing around and moving, and that movement is a dance, which is a map. And it's chemicals and it's these energy vibrations coming from her, and she's giving commands and orders. Only get the dandelion pollen from Mr. Edwards' front yard and bring them back to me. Well, you always got a couple bees that be tripping. Do what I want to do. I'm going over here. Mr. Jenkins got an apple tree, got some flowers on it. I'm bringing back some pollen from there because it's right across the street. I ain't got no time to be listening to her. So that bee comes back to the hive with the wrong pollen. The queen can see and feel, and she knows immediately that bee is out of order. She tells the bees, which are like the marshals, they're like the military, to hold him down. And she stings them to death. You don't want no story about why? Kill him. Because if it gets out that one bee has changed the prime directive, which is to bring honey from a certain place on the planet or bring pollen from a certain place on the planet at a certain time, the whole hive could collapse. Because the queen knows something that the rest of the bees don't know. They're not privy to it. That queen knew that there was a certain type of friendly bacteria or mycelium or mushrooms in the soil present that were bioluminescent at that particular time when the sun was hitting the earth at that particular time in Mr. Edwards' front yard. She was tuned in. And the apple, yeah, they got good pollen too, but that pollen is not the pollen we need right now to pollinate these babies because we need bioluminescent microbacteria to give these bees, which are going to have to be superbugs right now because of all the pesticides that people are putting in the world. We need to modulate these bees to another level. The queen knows everything about her environment. If she didn't kill that one bee, that one bee might what? Influence some other bees that would create colony collapse disorder. Colony collapse disorder, which happens to every society on the planet when they begin to break natural law, destroy themselves. They go through a state of entropy. Entropy is when you have a container and you keep pulling information out of the container and energy out of the container and not replacing it with new energy, the container begins to crush and fold in on itself and implode. One of the strongest explosions there is an implosion. once you take energy out of a container, you've got to put new energy in the container to keep it in a state of balance. Once you're giving away all your energy and using up all your resources, and you're always looking at how bad it is, there's no new energy coming in. There's no love. There's nothing that's going to actually create homeostasis and balance. So the thing collapses. Right now, we are, right in a lot of places, we are creating colony collapse disorder. Sucking the planet dry. Not just by what you're, you know, by not replacing the natural resources, you're not replacing the energy that would make you become thriving so we could thrive. We are doing our own self-harm by not replacing what's the disagreeable with some agreeable stuff. By looking at the disagreeable and what's hurting us versus what is helping us. Do you know there are beings all over the universe right now that are rooting for us? There's cells in your body repair, ready to repair broken cells. There's microorganisms and there's entities and ancestors and levels of existence that are waiting for you to get to the goal line, to get to the finish line and to take over and to raise this energy up to the point where we're past 200 with anger and we start getting to the level of 500, which is true love on the energetic field. Because one person vibrating at true love affects 750,000 people on the planet and counterbalances everything. So you have to make the choice to be the crystal. You have to put the broken crystal back together. That's what the movie Dark Crystal is about. Yeah, our crystal was broken. A lot of stuff happened. But what are you going to do? We're going to stay in misery and create a swamp, or we're going to open up and begin to create something new by focusing on our desire first, make it clear, make it clean, make it plain, and then from that state create our why. I'm on this program with Brother Rich because his why is strong. I've been with him personally now twice. I've watched him. I was pacing him because you got to learn how to pace. We went to the health food store. I watched the energy he gave everybody, the way he was vibing. Everybody was just like, some of them didn't even know who he was, but they knew he was somebody because he has this energy around him. He's connected, and he's reading, scanning books, and he's looking at things, and he's in this mode. And then we met again at another little secret meeting we had the other day. We can't really talk about right now. That's a whole other show. But we were there, and he found some things in this building where there's all of these people. He found something that nobody found. Brother Rich. He brought this to me and my brother Eugene. He was like, look what I found. Look at this. We look at what? Where you find this? Mm-hmm. He said, man, I can do some special work with this, man. This is some powerful stuff. What he's looking for, and the reason that he's doing this is because he is a person who is here to help those who are ready to rise. And he gives everybody a stage. Everybody gets to speak. But when you're here, right, and your thing is about helping, you let people see everything and make their own choices.
Indeed.
Because that's what makes us powerful, when we're able to choose. You've got to choose. This is the time of choosing. You can choose to be a part of the problem and be a government agent and help destroy the thing by talking about the problem, or you can come meet with us who are in a place of building on what we do have, focusing on the possibilities, and your subconscious begins to change its old programming because the captain is now at the wheel.
Now, I am going to cut it right there, guys. So remember, if you would like to, I put his information in the link tree, you guys. So Dr. B's information now is in the show notes, guys. I've been checking him out since I been on the podcast, since, you know, this show. And a lot of amazing information, you guys. His link tree is amazing. So please be sure that you check out his content, you guys. This has been amazing. So I again, you can check out the archives at Enhancing Awareness Radio, guys. We have done a few shows on the subconscious mind and how powerful it is, you guys. So please be sure. For some reason, my thing is lagging. Please be sure to go and listen to the past podcast that we have done on the subconscious mind. Hold on, while I get this together,
I want to get to a couple of questions before we get out of here. We're going on 2.5 hours. Man, listen, this show was absolutely amazing tonight, Dr. B. And you did your thing. And before we get to the Q&A, tell the people one more time how they can sign up for this class you got on Saturday.
Go to ElevationTime.com. That's ElevationTime.com. ElevationTime.com. And when you go there, go to events, and you'll see the event for Saturday. It's a introduction to the subconscious mind, and we're going to give some techniques. And in the class, we're going to actually do a group subconscious programming, reprogramming. That's one of the things that we're able to do, is to get the subconscious to shift by knowing how to go in the back door. So you'll get a couple of those keys on Saturday. And so that's ElevationTime.com. Go to events, or you can also go to classes. You pay for it there, and then, you know, you'll get a link. You know, usually you get the link either immediately or just before the class starts, and that class will be this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 3 at ElevationTime.com. And also, we have a lot of the products that will help in your building of your new castle, because if your body is not balanced, if your nutrition is not balanced, then you cannot command the energy. Because when you eat the right food, and when you detox from things like parasites, heavy metals, chemicals, I'm talking about not just in the colon, throughout your system, then you can command more electricity, because we make voltage. We make energy. We create energy. So to be able to expand past who you are now, it also is a whole body, holistic thing that must be done. So you're detoxifying from parasites. You're putting nutrition in your body. And we offer a whole, you got a lot of things on the website that can help you in your journey so that you become the captain again. You have to eat like a champion. You can't eat like a loser. You can't eat stuff that's eating you and the stuff that your body doesn't even know what to do with. Because it doesn't know, it never existed. Some of the stuff that people are eating didn't even exist. So you don't have as much balance and power, because what you're eating is eating you. It's sucking up your energy, or you're eating things that were, that went through so much processing or pain that it sucks you dry. So you don't have the power. So those things are available at ElevationTime.com. And there's a bunch of classes. There's one class that goes all the way to the core of your programming. That one is Total Life Transformation System 1. Total Life Transformation System 1. It's a 9-hour course. And by the end of this course, you've got so much subconscious programming and exercises that you can become the captain of your ship. And this can be done by anyone if you follow the rules, if you put yourself in order. Because the real deal, brother man, is most of us are out of order. And we don't have enough discipline, or we not organized. The organization creates freedom, and you're organized, and you've got a thing that you do. Ceremonies and rituals that you do all the time, not just ones that sound good and feel good, things that actually change you. And that's what the subconscious work that we do with subconscious alignment, which is helping to get rid of your mental parasites, ideas that are eating you alive, things that should be dead and gone, that are still in your mind, that are using you as a host. Let's break those spells.
Indeed. All right. I'm only going to get to a couple of questions. I was going to ask them, but I want to get to y'all because I see, man, If I got to all your questions, we would be on here at 6 in the morning.
Let's do it, bro. I'm up. I got my team. I got a long weekend, y'all. I got this team right here, man. Let me tell you something. I got platinum and focus in here, man. Let's go.
So the bitch got a good 20 minutes left for y'all. Let's Dr. B, the energized like a ball, right?
Man, I'm drinking that platinum, man. Drinking that platinum life elixir. In fact, let me open this up. I drank the other one all day because I had issues. I had to get rid of my issues that was in my tissues. I don't even use the proper.
There's just one question.
Don't y'all do that at home. All right, let me spray a little spray. Come on. Woo! That's good. That's the life elixir spray. Cleans your aura field up.
Somebody wants to, let's get to...
little master tonic reserve so I can protect my spiritual system.
Oh, that's the one you gave me last time we met up.
Ooh, that one right there?
Yeah.
Radiation, people, stuff, entities, make those entities altities. You don't want them to be entities, turn them into altities. You know what's an altities?
Altities, man. All right, I was looking for one question in particular. I can't find it, so I'm just going to... I done scrolled so far, but I'm just going to get to the next one I see so we can get this thing going on. Do we subconsciously cure the food and cancel all the bad if we're programmed to be blessed? Do you understand that question? I don't know.
Not sure.
Yeah, I'm not that sure. You got
first, see, language is funny.
Yeah.
First, what does blessed mean?
Be blessed.
That don't mean
to be
blessed. We're not all have the ability to do greatness. We all have it. But it may be latent or buried. So yes, food, everything is a part of it. What you're listening to, your music is food. What you're looking at, how you're living, all becomes nutrition or fuel for your journey. I'm not sure what that question means. But I know there's a good one right there. I see your eyes looking at it. Man. What's that one like? The third one down.
I might be at a different place than you because
I'm not anywhere. I don't look at the question.
Oh,
I'm going by your eyes.
But you just go.
I'm pumped up. Are you sure we got to end in a few minutes?
Yeah, I got to take it. I'm mad at questions, man.
Oh, I hate to stop right here, y'all, because this is where proud of his channel and get the content. Yeah, let me go ahead and, this is a good place to cut it, you guys. So I'm sure the questions was good, but gratitude. That subconscious mind breakdown. I just looked at his classes, and he got us some amazing classes on that website, guys. So his link tree is in the show notes for you to link out. But I believe that website was Elevation Time, and I went right to it, guys. So Elevation Time, classes, courses, all that good stuff. So, real inexpensive, too, guys. This is not even... You know, he has some stuff that's, you know, like the detox and all of that stuff, which is really powerful, guys. It was like $600, but it's well worth it. But he has a lot of inexpensive stuff here. So check it out, you guys. All right, I'm going to go ahead and end there, guys. This is something that I'm just going to personally ponder on. So, again, please join me every weekend. My consistent shows every weekend from 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central here at Enhancing Awareness Radio. Motivational classrooms every Saturday and Spiritual Soul Sunday every Sunday here. And, World Rising Information, Ancestral Tea, which is two new editions, and this is World Rising Information. So it's where I come in randomly during the week and just drop, you know, lectures or, you know, what we learn and grow together, right? Enhancing your awareness collectively, guys. So join me, no set time on when I come in the week, or if, even if I come every day of the week. But I have been coming every day in consistency, but I do not want to make that commitment. So randomly throughout the week, I have those two podcasts, Royal Rising Information and Ancestral Tea, where I come in and share different lectures that I pull, teach a little bit, learn a little bit, all that good stuff. So, all right, guys. Yeah, be sure to go and listen to the end of that lecture, guys. The stopping point, if you need it, is going to be at 2:33:41. So 2 hours and 33 minutes and 41 seconds. There's about 30 more minutes left, 30 or 40 more minutes left in that lecture. So, all right, guys, till next time. And this is one, connecting with your ancestors. Go and listen to Ancestral Tea, where I talk about altars. But connecting with your ancestors is going to be very, really heavy in this time now. They are here, and I don't feel that they never left. It's just we just really lack the wisdom and knowledge to know how to channel and connect, you know, in a positive light. So anyhow, this is one that was channeled through, you know, from my GG, and I would cherish it, all right? Catherine Mask Boyd. All right, you guys. Thank you. Till next time. Peace.
Breathe and be still. Breathe and be here. Breathe and be now. Allow your spirit to be receptive. Be receptive. Everything that you want is available to you now. Everything that you need, you already have. There are no voids in the universe. There are no voids within you. Creation is abundant, infinite, ever-expanding, boundless. Though you live in creation, creation also lives in you. You are abundant, infinite, ever-expanding, boundless. Remove all thoughts of lack and limitation from your consciousness. There is no such thing as lack. There are no limitations. The only limit is your mind. Let your mind expand. Let your consciousness expand. Inhale deeply. Let your mind expand. Exhale completely. Let your consciousness expand. Success is all around you. Success is within you. Wealth is all around you. Wealth is within you. Growth is all around you. Growth is within you. You are an abundant and attractive force. You are an abundant and attractive force. Everything that you want is available to you now. Everything that you need, you already have.